ജയം സുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകുടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീലേദാസ് ടാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗോ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ ശുഭദായ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീവിം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രജാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്തസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയാ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകതാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാൻവിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതാംശ്ച നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവിം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രജാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി ദേശധാരിണേ നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി നാമിനേ ശ്രീവർഷഭാനവിദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ധയേ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനീ പ്രഭവേ നമഃ മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിദ ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂർത്തയേ ദീനതാരിണേ രൂപാനുഗവിരുദ്ധാപസിദ്ധാന്തധ്വന്ദഹാരിണേ നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ പ്രലംബരസാംഭോദേ പദാംഭുജായതേ നമഃ നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനേ ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപാനുഗൗരായതേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവഭൂമേസ്ത്വം നിർദ്ദേഷ്ടാ സജനപ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവാ സർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായതേ നമഃ പഞ്ചകൽപ്പതരുഭ്യാശ്ച കൃപാ സിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം ഭാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ നമോ മഹാവദന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമ പ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ നാമ്നേ നുരത്വശേ നമഃ പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താഹാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാത്വികം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണ കരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്താരാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ ജയതാം സുരതോ ബാംഗോർ മമ മന്ദമദേ അർഗതി മത്സർവസ്വദാം ഭോജോ രാധാ മദനമോഹനോ ദിവ്യബൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദ ശ്രീമന്ദരത്നാകര സിംഹാസനസ്ഥോ ശ്രീ ശ്രീരാധാശീല ഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രേഷ്ടാളിഭി സേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീവടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷൻ വേണുസ്വനേർഗോപേർഗോപിനാഥ ശ്രീയേസ്തു തത്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Parthaya Pradibodhidam Bhagavadam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Gradidam Purana Muninam Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamrita Varshini Bhagavadim Ashtadisha Adhyayini Ambatva Manusandadami Bhagavadgite Bhavadveshini Namostude Vyasa Vishala Buddhe Pullara Vindaya Vatra Netra Yena Twaya Bharata Taila Purna Prajwalido Jnanamaya Pradipa Prabhanna Parijadaya Totravetrai Gavanaye Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya Gidamrata Duhe Namah Sarvopanishado Gavo Dugdha Gopala Nandana Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gidamratam Mahat Vasudeva Sudam Devam Kamsa Chanura Mardhanam Devahi Paramanandam Krishnam Mande Jagadgurum Vishwadronadada Jedrata Jala Gandhara Nilo Ulpala Shalya Grahavadi Krupena Vahani Karnena Vela Kula Ashwathama Vigarna Ghoramagara Duryodhana Vartini Sotirna Kalubanda Vairana Nadi Kaivartaka Keshava Parashariya Vajasarojamamalam Gitartha Gandhol Kadam Nana Khyanaka Kesaram Harigada Sambhodhana Bhodidam Lavagai Sajjana Shalpadeira Harahape Biyamanam Udabhuya Bharata Pangaja Kalimala Pradhum Sina Shreyase Mugam Karodi Vajalam Pangam Lenghaya Degirim Yal Krubadamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Yam Brahma Virunendra Rudra Marudastvan Vandi Divyai Savair Vedair Sangyapadair Pramopanishadair Gayandiyam Samagaham Dhyana Vastita Tadgadena Manasa Pashyandiyam Yogino Yasyandam Navidusura Suraganai Devaya Tasmai Namam
last time when we finished on the Sunday, we were discussing where Sodeva Goswami has just left and what was happening since then. That's what we were discussing, isn't it? Sodeva Goswami sent Parikshit back to the spiritual world. In other words, proper identity has come to him, and Parikshit realized that he has nothing to do with the body. That was his main realization, that he has nothing. Remember that he said that, Aham Brahma Param Dhamma, Brahma Aham Paramam Padam, Evam Samichan Altmanam Altmanyathaya Nishkale. It's a famous verse there in the fifth chapter. That's where Brahmavadesham coming into effect in Parikshit. It's happening to him now. It's happening to him now. Aham Brahma Param Dhamma Brahma Aham Param. He himself is declaring this. I am not this. I am Brahman. I am Atma. Brahma Aham Paramam Padam. And I am in that state, he is saying. Paramam Padam. Evam Samichanna Atmanam Atmanyathaya Nishkale. I am only seeing Atma. I am only realizing that I have nothing else except Atma. Nothing else exists here except Atma. In that state, Sukabrahma, she leaves him and goes away from there. That was the final goal, what he was meant to get to. Want to get to? Read to. So, therefore, there was at that stage, we heard this, when he gave them the address, when Shubhramashi told him that Tundurajan Marishyadi Pashubuddhi Mimamjahi, give up this animal mentality. Na jadaha, you are not in born. Praga Bhudodhya Dehavatantan Angshesi. You are not born, there is a question of death either for you. What's happening, everything is for the body. This realization has to happen within everyone. That's what is expected to happen at the end. That Dehavatantan Angshesi. Na jadaha, you are not born either. Very difficult to come to that understanding, isn't it, that we are not born. So deep is the ignorance in us that we are born. We think we are born and we are going to die. These two things, they are two things are known as the vritti of ajnanam. Ajnanam's vritti they are. Ignorance effects. Effects of the ignorance in us. So that is why when tamogunam is deeply involved, these two things won't go away from us very easily. That I am born and I am going to die. In fact, none of them are really happening to the self. Atma is not having anything to do with the birth or death. That is why he is saying here that therefore there is no question of destruction for you, he says to Parikshit. Sutna yatha shira chedam panjattu adhyatmana swayam yasmat pashri dehasya tada atma ajo amaraha. Again he mentions there, just like in the fourth verse, in the fifth chapter, 12th canto, that sutne yatha shirachedam, just like in the dream state, you feel as though your head has been cut off. And you are watching that, your head has been cut off standing next to that. You are seeing that. And similarly, it is equally applies to the vacant state also. This is where the difficulty is. We have taken vacant state as real and the dream state as unreal. This is another ignorance in us. What Shastram is saying to us, that your vacant state is as unreal as the dream state. As the dream state. So, but when this death happens, that in the vacant state also, when death happens, the self is conscious that death is happening to the body. That is the most interesting thing. When we are dying, we are very confident in ourselves that we are not over. It's not over. Body is going away. That we are conscious of. That is the point Vedantam is telling to us. Where is the difference between vacant state and the dream state? In the dream state, when you leave that and come back to the vacant state, you are saying, oh, that was not real. But is that not happening at the time of death also? When death is happening, the Atma inside is living, standing separately and watching the body going away. Exactly like the way it has happened in the dream state and in the vacant state. So that's why. Yasmal pashyati dehasya tada Atma ajo amara. Because therefore, when it is happening to the body, he realizes that ajaha amaraha. Aja means it has no birth and amaraha, it has no death either. So it is a very idea of that death. How science sees this, how transcendentalists see that, they see it on a different way. They are saying that as much as you see in your dream state your body going and you are accepting that it is not real, can you not accept the same way that when death is happening to the body, you are moving away from the body, body is going away, and how do you say that that is real? How can you argue that point? That's why he's saying here, ghadhe binne yatha agasham agashasya yatha pura evam dehe mrude jive brahma sambadyade puna. Just like when the pot is broken, the sky became one with the whole sky. Similarly, when the body gets destroyed, the living force inside becomes Brahman again. It becomes one with the Brahman. Evam Atmanam Alpasthanayam Atmanivamasha Prabho Buddhyanumana Garbhinyam Vasudevana Chindaya. So therefore, Shobhramashi says to Parikshit, you should think, use your this intelligence to analyze it properly, and thinking about Krishna's presence inside and get identified with that, and in that way realize the self. Actually, chodido vipravakena natvam dakshiti takshaga mrityo nobadakshandi mrityunam mrityum isharam. That because of the curse of the brahmana, and you cannot, nothing can be done by takshaga to you. Takshaga can't do anything to you. because all Rakshaka can do is that even death personified cannot touch you, because actually you are Alpa, you are not the body. Aham Brahma Parandama Dasandam Rakshakam Bade Lelihanam Mushanne Na Drakshasi Shariramja Vishanja Pradagalpana. That let the Takshaka come and let him bite you, but it won't touch you, it will only touch the body. And in this way, after Shobhramashi spoke all these things to him and asked him, do you want to hear anything else? That was his last question. In the 13th verse you will see that, what do you want to hear anything more from me? So by now, this is happening that Parikshit is leaving the body, and he plays his obeisances to Shukabrahmashi at that time. Siddhyosmi anagrahidosmi, in the 6th chapter, the 2nd verse. Bhavadam karunalpana shravido yachamayasha anadhi nithano hari. He says, you have given me that great mercy of Sri Hari, and I am blessed. And tatya albudamaham mani mahada achyudalpanam ajnyeshu tavadapteshu bodheshu yad anugraha. That I'm not surprised at all that a personality like you, who had the greatest compassion or mercy, that you have decided to come here and speak to me in this way and lift me out of my ignorance. That's what Shukabrahmarshi has done, isn't it? He has lifted him out of that darkness where he was situated. Bhagavan Takshakadibhya Mrityubhyona Bibhemiham Pravishto Brahma Nirvanam Abhayam Darshidam Tvaya. And now I'm not frightened about death anymore, says Parikshit. Parikshit says, I'm not frightened about death anymore, because anujani hi maam brahman vajam yachami adhokshaje mukta kama ashayam cheda praveshya visrajami asun. Then let me control my tongue and quietly, my chittam has completely burned away. There is no vasanas inside, and let me identify with the Supreme Brahman and oneness with the Brahman, and let me leave my body in this way. And ajnananja nirastamme jnana vijnana nishtaya bhavada darshidam kshemam para bhagavata padam. He says, you have taken away that ignorance which was in me all along and took it out and established me in the truth. This is the gratitude of the Parikshit's gratitude to Shukabrahmarshi. He says, and with that everything is finished, and you can imagine there is no other scripture in the world which has taken a person, conditioned soul, in 7 days' time and got him liberated on the 7th day, like the way Srimad Bhagavatam has done. That is Bhagavatam's greatness. In 7 days' time, just by being instructed by Shukabrahmarshi, personality like Parikshit has completely lost his bodily identity and got himself established in the truth. Established in the truth. And that is the reason why Bhagavatam is called a Paramahamsa Samhita. You will see in every chapter at the end, Srimad Bhagavate Mahabharane Paramahamsyam Samhitayam. Paramahamsa Samhita, it is called. Then after that, now that Parikshit, Shubramashi has gone, so therefore Sudha Goswami says to Shaunakarishi that Parikshadvirajarshin Altmanyaltmanam Altmana Samadhayabaram Dadya Aspanda Suryadhataru Prakule Brahishya Sino Ganga Gulaudang Mukha Brahma Bhudo Maha Yogi Nisanga Chinnasam Shaya. At this stage, what's happening to Parikshit? All the doubts have gone. We always have doubts all the time about various things. Is this right? Is that right? Constantly in doubt about things, isn't it? That's why in the Upanishad says, Chidyande Sarva Samshaya. All samshaya is gone. Doubts has to completely leave us. There should be no more doubts after that. So that's what happened to Parikshit. All the doubts have gone away from inside. What else? Asakti, attachment to things have gone from inside. No attachment anywhere. Brahmanishta, established in the Brahman. Brahmabodho Mahayogi, he says. He has completely come to the platform of Brahman, and therefore he is a yogi. And he turned in the northern direction, and he attacked. There is no chittavritti inside anymore. It's completely absorbed in the self, and like a tree standing there, he sat there and completely dissolved himself in the Atma. It was at that time, you know that story, Kashyapa came Kashyapa was coming over to save Parikshit from the biting of Takshaka, and that on the way Takshaka met him, and Takshaka gave him money and bribed him and sent him away from there. So at that time, Parikshit, his word has to come true, the curse of Sringi. So therefore this happened. And Sringi's curse was that seventh day his body, he will be bitten by Takshaka and he will be burned into ashes. So that happened. The body was bitten and burned into ashes. And so what he's showing is that the story of that Kashyapa Brahmana, his story is spoken in a very interesting way here. Reason for that is, those who are Brahmanyani, that means those who are realized Brahmanas, for them, this sarpam or the snake, which is in the form of material existence, the poison due to that can be taken away. They have got the capacity to do that. In other words, Brahmana strength is poverty, simplicity, and that purity coming from that. If the Brahmana loses that, then he will not be able to utilize it. That is why that story has been put in there. Behind all these things, there is a lot of tattvams spoken there. Tattvam is this, that the Kashyapa is a Brahmana. And that Brahmana, if he is addicted to money, if he is attracted to wealth, and if he is attracted to opulences, then his capacity for doing something to protect anybody loses. He loses that. You can see here that as soon as he got attracted by wealth, he could not protect Parikshit from bitten by Takshaka. He got victimized by that. Just to show that, that incident is spoken there. So, therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam, when they are speaking, the Brahmanas who are speaking Bhagavatam, they should not get attracted to wealth. So, they should be like the Paramahamsas. And Takshaka is nothing but material existence. That is the tattvam behind it. The story is there. But behind the story, the idea that is being conveyed is that material existence is the snake that is biting every one of us. How to relate this incident with our life in this world? That is what is important. This story with Parikshit and Takshaka happened 5,000 years ago. Why has it been spoken now? To make us also aware that Parikshit is nobody else than us. We are the Parikshits in this world, being cursed by different karma, prarabdha karma, and experiencing our vasanas here and suffering here under material existence. So when we are in that state, that is samsara vasana, or to enjoy this material world and material life, and that itself is considered to be like Takshaka. It's a Takshaka in us that prompting us to enjoy life and to live in this world permanently. And as long as that Takshaka is there, and we need the shelter of a Brahmana like Shukla Brahmarshi to protect us from this state. If we hold on to someone who has desire for wealth and who wants to enjoy this world, he would not be able to do like Kashyapa if he is attracted by wealth. That is the subtle side of this incident, what is spoken here. Parikshit's case is the incident what happened there. But it is through that story, Vedavyasa Maharshi is telling us that we are all under the grip of Takshaka. How? In the form of material existence. It is tempting us all the time to live here and to attracted by the body and material life in this world. But if we want to free ourselves from the grip of material existence, we need the help of a Brahmana like Shuka Brahmarshi. But if we take the help of a Brahmana like Kashyapa, who is attracted by wealth, who is attracted by material opulences, he won't be able to save us. That incident is what is this story is bringing us to. It is after that, you will see in the Bhagavadam, the next few chapters, between Suta and Shaunaga, all the things are happening. That, why the division of Vedas, how this has happened, that is what is spoken there. When they heard all these things, that Shaunaga and Suta, in their conversation now what we are discussing, isn't it? It is happening in Naimisharanyam. Between Suta Shaunaga Samvadam this is. Because in Suta Shaunaga Samvadam, between Suta and Shaunaga Rishi, these discussions, Parikshit and Shuka Brahmarshi had come in. Now they have come and gone. Their role is over. So now we are going back to Suta and Shaunaga conversation. So there, Suta Goswami says to him that the Shaunaga Rishi is asked, he did not want to hear this anymore, this incident, what happened with the afterwards. Although in the Bhagavadam it's spoken about Janamejaya decided to burn all the snakes, and then there was a continuous sacrifice of the snakes, and all those things, what is spoken there, you will see that. And they were not interested in hearing that. And he said to them, why is that, Vedavyasa Maharshi, why did he divide the Vedas? Why was that discussion? And then he also asked some interesting question there. That's where we understand the subtlety of these things. That why is that Yajurvedam, there is a Krishna Yajusse and Shukla Yajusse. Two divisions came in the Yajurvedam. Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, Atharvanavedam, four Vedam. So in that, Yajurvedam has got two divisions, Shukla Yajurvedam and Krishna Yajurvedam. We do not understand why this has happened. How did it happen? So, there, he said, the reason for that is, Vedavyasa Maharshi had several disciples. Mainly, Pailan, Sumandu, Jaimini, and Atharvav. There were four disciples to whom he instructed the Vedas. Now, what happened was, there was this great personality, Yajnavalkya Maharshi. Yajnavalkya. And he had some difficulty with another god brother of him. They did not get on very well. Yajnavalkya was very intelligent. So, Vedavyasa Maharshi instructed Yajurvedam to another disciple, but Yajnavalkya did not particularly appreciate that. So what he did, he went and saved, he went and worshipped the sun god and placed him, and he got Yajurvedam instructed directly from the sun. And that is what is called Shukla Yajusse. Shukla Yajusse. From this you have to understand that this relationship between disciples and the guru, their fighting has started from that day. Don't think that it's always been very pure all along. Never get into that illusion that it's always been very pure. We think that when we look at our parambara and all that, we get carried away by that because people tell you a lot about parambara, parambara, parambara. And you start thinking that, oh, they must all have been 100% pure. No, it's not. It's not always like that. This fighting between the guru and the disciple has started with Vedavyas himself. Imagine that. The first personality who spoke, divided the Vedas and given to us. So, and first time when you hear that, how could that happen? From Vedavyas, if this could happen, how could it happen? You may think like that, isn't it? And it's not very sinful, such a thing that a disciple has started fighting with the guru. Is it not? But if it is there in the Vedavyas tradition, then what to talk about our tradition? That much if you understand, that's good enough. That if this can happen to Vedavyas and his disciple, sometimes we think, oh, in Nishkon only we have got problems. No, no, no. The problems are everywhere. Prabhupada had plenty of problems also with his godbrothers. And I am sure it would have been happening before his also.
This is constant. It never changes. It started from Vedavyas himself. Therefore, it's not to be taken very seriously, all these things. And so he, this Yajnavalkya Maharshi, he got Shukla Yajusse, and the other person got the Krishna Yajusse. So then the Vedavyas told him, if it is like that, you got your own Yajurvedam, then give me back what you have taken from me. Because when he instructed originally Yajurvedam, he instructed him something to him also, to Yajnavalkya, and something to the other disciple. So, what did he do? He vomited the whole thing. And that is what we call it as Taittiriyam. Taittiriya Upanishad. Some birds called Titri birds. They came and ate that. And whatever that they have eaten, that is what is called Taittiriya Upanishad. It's one of the important 10 Upanishads. That one. They had that, you may ask the question, can you vomit everything out what you have learned? How is that possible? Suppose you got an upset stomach, you can take some medicine and vomit out everything. Food poisoning or something like that. You can throw it away. But how can you throw away the knowledge what you have taken inside? How can you throw it away? Those people who are at that time, they had that capacity to do that. And anyway, it has become very useful to the world, and that is why it is called Taittiriyam. Taittiriya Upanishad. And then Vedavyasa Maharshi created the Puranas and instructed that to his disciples. And this story, in a very summarized form, Sudha Goswami spoke about that to Shaunagar Rishi. And it was at that time that the rishis who were present there, they were asking him to tell the story of Markandeya. Markandeya story. The next three chapters is Markandeya story in the Bhagavadam. Markandeya story in the Bhagavadam. So, Vedashakha Pranayanam it is called. How Vedams are split into four and what all happened during. You will find many, many stories like this in the Upanishads. Sometimes you will find great rishis fighting each other. Isn't it? Vasishtha and Vishwamitra, for example. And there are many other instances, Nimi and Vasishtha fighting each other. So, similarly, Indra's activities, all this has certain tattvam behind it, which we'll talk later. So, this Markandeya story is, Markandeya has a title called Acharya of all the Puranams. Purana Acharya Mastude, it says in the Bhagavad. All Puranas, he is the Acharya for all the Puranas. Markandeya, you will see in the Bhagavadam, and I think in the 7th canto, when this incident happened with in the Rajasuyam sacrifice, Dharmautra, Yudhishthira Maharaj, asked the question to Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi told him that you have heard everything from Markandeya before, all the Puranams you have heard, But about Markandeya, from Markandeya, he has heard. Yudhishthira Maharaj, because Markandeya used to visit Indraprastham and used to talk about Puranas, various Puranas, particularly Ramayanam. He spoke Ramayanam to Yudhishthira Maharaj, and when Yudhishthira Maharaj told Markandeya about his miseries in life, what all Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas were going through along with Kunti Devi, Markandeya told Yudhishthira, you are not the only person who has suffered. There are others who have suffered a lot more than you. When you hear that somebody else is suffering more than you, then you feel a relief, isn't it? I'm not the only one you feel. That's psychology. So same thing happened to Yudhishthira also. So Yudhishthira wanted to know who has suffered more than me, he was asking. That's when the story of Ramachandra was spoken. Ramachandra's story was spoken to him, and he heard Ramayanam completely from Markandeya. So Markandeya is well known to all the Pandavas. So, but about Markandeya nobody knew, Markandeya's history. So he is known as a personality who won over death. And how did this happen? How could this happen to Markandeya? This is the question from the rishis, sages who were present there.
And it is answer to that, these three chapters, what you will see there in the 12th canto. So Markandeya has come to the Guruvilam, and after studying the Vedam, everything, he went to Himalayas and started the austerities there. The reason behind that is, if you look into Bhagavatam also, you will see there, there is a situation what happens with in the end of Ekadasha Skandam, 28th, 29th chapter, Uddhava asked two questions to Krishna. To talk about knowledge and self-realization, and Krishna spoke about that in the 28th chapter, Paramartha Tattva Nirupanam, it's called, Review of the Absolute Truth. In the 29th chapter, again, Krishna, when Uddhava said that it is difficult for ordinary people, that process of self-inquiry is difficult, Krishna gave him the simplest process of bhakti. Is it not? 29th chapter, you will see that. Simplest process of bhakti. And that is where he said to him that you should only think in this way, he said, that you should take the shelter. You can see that in the easiest process, he said, all I can tell you, what did he say? He said to him that 29th chapter, what he mentioned was that where he said, and that verse where he said to him, yeah, 16th verse in 29th chapter, Visarjas mayamanansvan drisham vridamcha dehigim praname dandavad bhomav ashvachandala ghokharam. Isn't it? And he also said to him in the verse before, yeah, two verses, Brahmane pulkase stene brahmane arke spulingage akrure kurege jaiva samudrak pandido madha. This is coming to the end of that instruction. You remember? Last one is samadrik pandito madha. How to get that equal vision in the world? Able to see everything on an equal level. Tontu sarvam, remember that verse. Tontu sarvam paritejas neham sajana bandushu mayavesha mana samyak. Last thing is samadrik. That samadrik and then vijarasugam. Once you have reached that state of samadrik, equal vision, then you can walk through this world. You don't have to look anywhere. That is samadrik, equal vision. So that samadrik state is what Krishna is saying to akrure krurege jaiva samadrik pandito madha. He has come to that samadrik state, samadarshitam or samadrik, isn't it? And to reach that state, he gave these next two verses. Nareshu abhishnam albhavam bumso bhavayado ajiral sparda asuya tiraskaram sa ahangaram viyandihi. These four things are present in everyone. What is that? Sparda, asuya, tiraskaram, sahangaram, viyandihi. Sparda means that sparda means enmity towards another person. Asuya means envy. Tiraskaram means completely ignoring others, not valuing some people, and some people you are taking on a higher level, to show indifference between people. Tiraskaram. Sa ahangaram viyandihi. And all these three things, sparda, asuya, tiraskaram, they are there in all of us because of the presence of ahangaram inside, which is the nature of jiva. So jiva is nothing but ahangaram, and when that ahangaram is there, these three things will be there. So Krishna said to Uddhava, Uddhava, there is only one hope. If you see that, you can't do the self-inquiry process and make it happen, then the alternative is that whomever you see in this world, to them, Visrujas mayamanansvan drisham vridamja dehigim praname dandavad bhumo asya chandala gogaram. Whether you see a dog, chandala or dog eater, or a cow, or an ass, donkey, or whatever it is, you pay your obeisances to them, recognizing that I am present in all of them, as Krishna is present in all of them. Because that to come out of the body is not an easy thing. To our own identity with the body is not a very easy thing. And
when we see different bodies, our problem is we consider one body is higher, one body is lower. Isn't it? That is strongly imbibed in us. When we see a donkey, we think, oh, it's a donkey, isn't it? We think like that. It's difficult to get rid of that from inside. When we see a cow, oh, it's a cow at the end. Similarly, and that means higher, lower identity comes to us in our mind. This first happens between animals and the human body. We put them in the cage in the zoo and we go outside and look at them. Why we find so funny there, looking at them? Because we think that they are some kind of animals for us to watch and enjoy them, isn't it? We are not thinking at that, and there is Krishna present inside. We have put them in the lockup and telling that it's for our enjoyment. Krishna has given all these things. So we consider all these things justifiable. But the important point is, from spiritual point of view, that's not a very good thing, that there is Krishna present in them as well. And so therefore, to free yourself from that, it's not easy. Because it's there, we have the same problem among the human species itself. Somebody thinks I'm superior, somebody thinks they are lower. And in a subtle level, it's working in everyone's mind. And that is why Krishna is saying there, if you want to come out of that, there's only one direct process is, as soon as you see a living being, you pay your obeisances. Keep on paying obeisances so that this higher lower thing will go away from inside. I am superior, he is lower. Somebody else is superior, somebody is lower. This duality, dvandvam, will leave you. That was Krishna's advice to Uddhava. And if it is done like that, Yaval Sarveshu Bodeshu Malbhavo Lobajayade. Krishna gives a very strong statement there. Tava Deva Upasidam Vangmana Kaya Vrithibhi. Till you get to that stage, that in all living entities my presence is understood and recognized, he said there, and you've got to continuously engage in this process of paying obeisances to all the living entities. And after saying all these things, Krishna concluded that chapter, 29th chapter, because there Krishna gave importance to bhakti. Because 28th chapter was for self-inquiry, jnana margam. 29th chapter was an easier process. Krishna said, if you can't do this, then the 29th chapter of the bhakti process is spoken. So that was the same thing, finishing. That is that verse which finishes the expanded form of that first verse. Tondu sarvam parityaja sneham svajana bandhushu. Do you see the connection with that verse and all this what we have spoken so far? Tondu sarvam parityaja sneham svajana bandhushu mayaveshya mana samyak samagrat vijara swagam. This is the whole essence of Ekadasha Skandam, is that one verse in the 7th chapter. That is how this conversation started between Krishna and Uddhava. Now, little by little, through different episodes, Krishna has expanded that one verse, and here is the conclusion of that verse. Which one? Samadrik, equal vision. Then after that, he says, Uddhava, you can go. You can go. So, Vijarasugam, he says there. So, Toye vanyasta jitta sukhai vijaran sarva jeshta todartham todbhaktai sevyamana nabi charita jaran ashrayan punya deshan dasyo vipre mrigadisho vijasamamadir muchyamana avamanam spardha asuyadi doshaha sadadam agilabodeshu sampujaye tvam. This one verse in Narayaniyam, Melpattu was talking to Krishna about this. That's where this verse is coming. He said to Krishna, Krishna is sitting there and he is speaking to him in these verses. Kasamuriya Bhagavadam Ekadasha Skandam. So he told him that Tvaye vanyasta jitta sukhamai vijaran sarva jeshta todartham. That after hearing all that what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava, I have understood one thing, he says to Krishna, that my duty is to develop this Bhagavata Dharmam. What Krishna has spoken is Bhagavata Dharmam. And that includes Tod Bhakte Sevyamana Anabi Charita Charan Ashrayan Punya Deshan. That I have to take the association of your devotees and develop this Bhagavata Dharmam nature within me. There is no other way it can happen to me. Melpaturi is saying this to Krishna. Dasya Ovi Premrigadi Shabija Samamadir. Dasyo Vipraya Brigadi Shavija Samamadir. In other words, that a dacoit, a brahmana, and the animals, all of them, Samamadir, I have to have that equal vision in all of them. Is it not? To get that equal vision in everybody. To see, when you see a dacoit, when you see a brahmana, and when you see a cow or a donkey, we have to see them all on an equal level. On an equal level. In other words, they should not create any ragadvesham in me. That is what equal vision means. Normally what is happening? When you see a dacoit, you think, oh, he is a thief anyway. Or when you see a brahmana, you feel a respect towards him. So here aversion, here attachment. And when you see a donkey, what do you feel at that time? Tiraskaram. Tiraskaram means you in a very contemptuous way, you look at them. These three different ragadvesham happens within us. That is what has to go. They are not going to change. Their bodies will remain as it is. It's not that the body it is based on. As long as they don't create any effect inside us, that means that ragadvesham has gone. That is how it is understood. Spardha dasya uvipreme gadishvabija samamadir. Samamadir. Samamadir means equal in mind, equality inside us. I'm not feeling any, if you see a dacoit, or if you see a brahmana, or if you see an animal, it is not creating any impact inside me. Samamadir muchyamana avamanam. Similarly, when insults and praise comes in life, you don't accept, take it, and create any disturbance inside. When somebody insults you, or somebody praises you, even in that state, no ragadvesham inside towards them. Muchyamana avamanam. Then, spardha asuya didoshaha. Spardha asuya. Spardha and asuya. That means that due to asuya, it becomes spardha. It begins with asuya, envy. Once envy builds up, it will develop, turn into, in course of time, it will become spardha. That's the way it is. Asuya means envy. Some develop, in a subtle level, that vasana will build up inside. And in course of time, it will become a spardha. Spardha means a certain, competing mood, or a kind of fighting mood inside, a revulsion inside develops. That's spardha. So, asuya and spardha, they go together. Spardha asuyadi doshaha. All the faults associated with that. Sadatam akhila bodesho sampujaye tvam. That spardha and asuya must go from inside, because they also create ragadvesham inside. So, ragadvesham is the problem. In order that ragadvesham has to go, he says here in the Melpatur said this to Krishna. So, Krishna says to him, that if it is like that, the what is the solution then? Is Tulbhavo Yavadeshu Spiritina Vishadam Tavadevam Upastim Kurvan Naigalpme Bode Jadidivigasadi Tunmayoham Chareyam Tadharmasyasya Daval Kimabina Bhagavan Prastudasya Pranasham Tasmal Sarvalpmaneva Pradishamama Vibho Bhakti Margam Manutyam. Melpatur said to Krishna this, and Krishna said to him, that what do you want from me? They are talking to each other. And Melpatur said to him, to Krishna, that you have to give me this. I can't do it on my own. In bhakti it is like that. Krishna has to give it to us. We are finding it difficult to get rid of this from inside. You can try, practice it. Krishna said the practical solution, pranamaya dandavad bhuma vasya chandala ghokaram, that you pay your obeisances to all the living entities whenever you see them, and if you do it regularly, Krishna says over a period of time you will become free from this problem. But Melpatur said to Krishna, that is also not possible. It is not so easy. Tulbhavo yavadeshu spiritina vishadam tavadevam upasthim. That so he said to him, that this thing what you have told us, what is that? That dasyavipradi, that means from the dacoits and the brahmana, to see it is Krishna who is present inside, it's a very, very difficult thing. Is it not? Till I get that, he said, that if you show some mercy to me, and I get that, when will that happen? He says, it will only happen that if I realize who I am, then that will happen. Do you understand that? That this situation of seeing everybody equal, when will that happen? Melpathur said this to Krishna, if you make me realize who I am, then it will happen. If I am in the body, identifying with the body, it will never happen. But if you make me realize who I am, my real identity, then that will happen automatically. This was Melpathur's answer to Krishna. Maharaniyam, these things have been given more importance, because how the process of self-realization, with Krishna's grace when it happens, all these other things will disappear. We consider it's very difficult, isn't it, to realize the self through this process. Which process? What Krishna said. To pay self-enquiry, difficult. Continuously paying obeisances to all the living entities, realizing the self, difficult. Realizing the self is difficult. It's not easy. So Melpathur said to Krishna, if you make me realize who I am, then this problem will go. Because once you have identified with Atma, who you are, like Parikshit has happened, along with that, what all has happened to Parikshit? All other misapprehensions, doubts, everything has gone away. These are all doubts in the mind. Sarva samshayaha, chidyande sarva samshayaha. So the only way to come free yourself from these doubts is to realize the self. That is the answer to all the problems. And that, if you can do that for me, Melpathur said to Krishna, that is what he told him. Kurvan aigalpmya bhode jadati vikasadi tvanmayoham chareyam. That if you do that, that then I will live my life in that way for the rest of this life in this world, and I would not be affected by any of these things. So when you discuss self-realization, you have to look at all these different aspects of it, how it works in a person. It's not that we just follow somebody's instruction straight away. It works in a certain way. Krishna is saying self-inquiry, first process. Secondly, he says that pay your obeisances to all the living entities, and in that way you try to see, rise above the body and start seeing things in the equally. In other words, Ragadvesham do not build up inside. Melpathur said to Krishna, all that is difficult for me. The only way it can happen is if you bless me and put me into my real identity, like Shubhramashi did with Parikshit, then I can also escape from these problems. That's what he told him. Kurvan aigalpmya bhode jadati vikasadi tvanmayoham chareyam. If you do like that, what will happen is aigalpmya bhode. Aigalpmya bhode means that you see your identity as Atma, like Krishna. Like Krishna's identity as Atma in the spiritual platform. Jadati vikasadi. It will happen very quickly if you show some mercy to me, he said. It can happen very quickly. Tvanmayoham chareyam. And if I'll continue my life in this world in that way, whatever. Taddharmasyasya bhavan kimabina bhagavan prastudasya pranasham tasmal sarvaatmaneiva padishamama vibho bhakti margam manojyam. Melpathur told Krishna at that point, he said, there is nothing better than process than Bhagavata Dharma. That's Toddharma. Toddharma means Krishna's Dharma. The Dharma Krishna has instructed us. What is that? Bhagavata Dharma. Toddharmasyasya taval kimabina bhagavan prastudasya pranashaham. Then, once you start Bhagavata Dharma, there will be no question of going back from that. Bhagavata Dharma is the process what Krishna is saying to us. So he says to him, Toddharmasyasya taval bhagavan asya toddharmasya prastudasya taval pranasha kimapi na. Once you start Bhagavata Dharmam process, then there is no question of going back from that. Why? Tasmal sarvatmane eva pradishamamami bho bhakti margam manojyam. That therefore Bhagavad Dharma means the bhakti process. Somehow or the other gave me more instructions on that bhakti process. Now, that is how Medpatur said to him. So, it is at this point that this Markandeya story comes in the Bhagavatam. Because this is where Uddhava is now. Uddhava has heard up to this and Uddhava has gone. Now, when it came to Sudha Shaunaga Samvadam, now it is Sudha and Shaunaga talking to each other. So, when Ekadasha Skandam finished, more or less the conclusion was that self-inquiry or Jnanamargam in the 28th chapter is difficult. The 29th chapter also, Krishna's instructions were hard to follow. It's not that simple as we think about it. But there, Krishna spoke certain things that finally, which was all the way Krishna has spoken, which is called Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma means that the process of chanting the holy name. Everything is pulling it back to that one point of chanting the holy name. So, Bhagavata Dharma, that is where all the stress is in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Finally, when Bhagavatam finishes, what does it say? Nama Sangirtanam Yasya Sarvabhava Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Shamanam Tam Namami Harim Param. So, holy name is a shelter. To stress that holy name is important, which is the very key factor in the Bhagavata Dharma. Here, again, that point is brought back. Tasmal sarvatmaneiva pradishamama vibho bhakti margam manojyam. This bhakti margam is manojyam. Manojyam means it is a beautiful process. It's a beautiful process. Bhakti margam is a beautiful process, unlike any other process. Why? Manojyam. It is enjoyable. Bhakti margam is enjoyable. So, as a example of that, this Markandeya story has come in the Bhagavatam. That is why it's mentioned there. Tam jainam bhakti yogam dradaidu maime sadhyam aryogyam ayuhu dishtya tatra abhisevyam tava charanamaho beshaja eva dugdham Markandeyo hi purvam ganaga nigaditam dvadashabdha iruchai sevitva valsaram tvam tava padanivahir dravayama samrutyam. Keeping Krishna in the front, Melpatur is continuing his story of the Bhagavatam. Is Uddhava Krishna Samvadam has gone, finished gone. So in the 12th canto, this story of Markandeya's story, Melpatur said to Krishna, this is how it happened, has it not? He said, referring to Markandeya. He said, Tam Jainam Bhakti Yogam, that Bhakti Margam Manojyam, he said previously. Now he says to him, Tam Jainam Bhakti Yogam Drada Idumayime Sadhyam. That he says to him, that bhakti, what you have given to me so far, please make it firm inside me. I don't lose it anymore. Melpatur says to Krishna, because I need, Melpatur is suffering with illness. So he says to him, I need health and I need some span of life to practice all these things. That is what he told him. Tam jainam bhakti yogam dradaidum, please get me firm, fixed up in this bhakti process. Why? Me sadhyam, then only it is possible. For that I need arogyam, health, ayuhu, lifespan. I need both of them. Otherwise how can I do? Suppose you have given me all the advice today and tonight I am dead. What will happen then? So what's the use of all the advice? It's gone, isn't it? So, you have a right to ask Krishna these things. Suppose you have got a strong desire to take to spiritual life and you want to progress in spiritual path. And then you got the inclination and you got the desire to do it. But suppose you left your body this tonight, then what was the use of all these instructions? So, therefore, he says to him, Sadhyam Aryogyam Ayuhu, I need health. And I need some time in life to practice it. Dishtya tatra bisevyam tava charanamaho beshaja eva dugdham. Krishna says to Melpatur, if it is like that, for that purpose, start serving me, Krishna says. You serve me and you will get it, bhakti. But you have to serve. You're not willing to serve, but that's not working. If you want it, you will get it. But you start serving me. Dishtya tatra bisevyam tava charanamaho beshaja eva dugdham. Beshaja eva dugdham means that normally that somebody wants to drink milk. He has got some illness, he can't drink milk. So the physician comes and this person wants to drink milk very badly. He wants to enjoy milk, drinking milk. Some people like cold milk, some people like hot milk. But they still like milk, isn't it? So he wants to drink some milk and the illness is such that he can't drink milk because of the illness. But suppose the physician comes and says to him that the medicine for your illness is milk. How will he feel? Is it not? Suppose I want to have milk, but the doctors told me not to have milk. And I'm completely not allowed. It's famous in the Shastra, this example. But another doctor comes and says to me, no, you should have a lot of milk. That's what you need. That's what is called beshaja eva dugdham. Dugdham means milk. So he says to him, dishtya tatra abhisevyam charanam tava charanamaho beshaja eva dugdham. This bhakti margam is like that. Bhakti process is like that. That Krishna is saying to us, practice bhakti. Develop bhakti towards me. Develop attachment to me, Krishna is saying. And that process of developing attachment to Krishna itself is very blissful. To the personality of Krishna, Supreme Lord. Itself is blissful. So the process is blissful, the end result is also blissful. Unlike the Jnana Margam. Jnana Margam is struggle from beginning to end till we get there. Whereas Bhakti Margam is bliss from beginning to end. Just like this example, that bhakti is like this, that when you have been, Krishna is, devotee is saying to Krishna, that tam jainam bhakti yogam dradaidu maime sadhyam aryogyam ayuhu. If I have to practice bhakti yogam, I need aryogyam, I need ayus. That means lifespan. Krishna says to him, dishtya tatra abhisevyam. In that case, serve me. Engage in bhakti. And bhakti yogam process itself is so blissful. He says, beshaja eva dugdham. And it is like recommendation of taking milk for as a medicine given to you, which you wanted very badly. You wanted to drink milk. Doctor comes and says to you, have a lot of milk. How will you feel? That happiness, what you feel? The bhakti process is compared to that. In bhakti, Krishna is giving us an opportunity to serve Krishna and in that way please Him. And that process of pleasing Krishna itself is so pleasing. Krishna says at the end, you enjoy me. Enjoy Krishna completely. Markandeyehi purvam ganaganigadidam dvadashabdhayiruchai. This is what has happened to Markandeya Maharshi. Markandeya Maharshi was cursed that he will die. He was new, not exactly cursed, it was in his horoscope that he was going to leave his body at the age of 12. So at the age of 12th birthday, when his mother was serving the food to him, when he was eating prasadam, from mother's eyes some tears dropped. She thought that this will be the last time I will serve this feast to my son. In that mood she was serving the prasadam. Markandeyehi purvam ganaganigadida dvadashabdhayiruchaihi. That 12 years, dvadashabdha means 12 years. 12 years lifespan was given to Markandeya Maharshi. Ganaganigadida. Astrologers have told him. Sevitva valsaram tvam patava bhatanivahair dravayam asamrutyam. And then what happened to Markandeya? Markandeya lived for 7 manandaram. 7 kalpams he lived after that, isn't it? So, and he got freed from the grip of death. That story is in the Bhagavadam, spoken in the 3 chapters there. So, so what he did was he decided to take shelter of Krishna at that time. Went to the Himalayas and in Himalayas he performed his extreme penances, which you can read in the Bhagavadam.
So when he started in the seventh Manu, this all happened in the first Manu's time. Several Manundaram has gone, several Manu's lifetime has passed away. And in the seventh Manu's time, which is Purandara, this Indra, and this new Indra, who took charge of the this particular Manundaram, every Manundaram, Indra changes. You know, in every Manu's time, Indra changes. If you want to look, you will look into the Bhagavatam, you will see there that a day of Lord Brahma is 1000 Chaturyugam, isn't it? In 1000 Chaturyugam, there is 14 Manus, 71 Chaturyugam for each Manu. Each Manu's time, there will be a new Indra. In the 7th Manu's time, we have Purandara is the name. When Purandara went to the heavenly planet, into the Indra's planet, last Indra has gone, he has handed over the responsibility to the new Indra. So when he looked at the accounts there, he saw there that there is one Markandeya performing penances in the Himalayas. Why is he doing that? What is the purpose? Because Indras are normally worried. They are always fearful that somebody is going to take over their position. The usual fear. So probably he thought, Purandara thought, that he is doing this with the intention of taking over the heavenly planets, the Surgalokam. So it is then that he sent Kamadev, Cupid, Apsaras women, and the Malayamaruta, the wind from the Malaya mountains, Vasandhrutu, the season, the spring season, all these things to disturb his mind. He sent them all there. These are the weapons in Indra's hands. He will always use them when he wants to break the penances of or the tapasya of any great personality, isn't it? He sent all of them to Markandeya. But none of them could do anything in front of Markandeya. Markandeya was so fixed in his austerities. He was so firmly fixed in the tapasya that he couldn't do anything. So all that happened was the Apsaras women came, they danced in front of him. But Vishwamitra and others fell off, is it not? But in Markandeya case, this didn't happen. So, when Markandeya didn't even open his eyes, when they came and danced, and when the Vasandhakrutu, that means that the changed spring season, that didn't upset him, that didn't move his mind, and Markandeya will not open his eyes. Only if you open the eye, you will see all these people, isn't it? Apsaras women and others in front of him. So he didn't open his eyes. He kept his eyes closed and continued his meditation very seriously. So this didn't happen to Naranarayana Rishi. It was little different. Naranarayana Rishi also performs penances in the Himalayas. What happened was Indra sent all the Apsaras women there to disturb his penances, which is tapasya or penances. Narayana Rishi, they danced in front of Narayana Rishi and tried to disturb their meditations. So, but here what you find, Narayana Rishi opened the eyes and then the Apsaras women got frightened. They thought he may curse them and burn them into ashes. That was fear in their mind. So that time, Narayana Rishi called all of them, and he beat his right thigh like this. From there, Urvashi was born. Urvashi was born from that. There were many other women were born, but Urvashi was the most beautiful among all of them. So he says to all these women, they felt ashamed seeing Urvashi. Urvashi is so beautiful that he said, Narayana Rishi told the women from Apsaras women from the heavenly planets, you can take her and go back to heavenly planets. So Urvashi goes along with them to Indra, to heavenly planets. That happened at that stage. So the difference here is Narayana Rishi opened their eyes and did that to them. But Markandeya Rishi's case,
Markandeya Rishi didn't even open his eyes. He kept his eyes closed. After this happened, Naranarayana Rishi gave them prasadam, everything, and sent them off in a nice way. All the Apsaras women, along with Urvashi in the front. So, Markandeya Rishi was not that confident, like Naranarayana Rishi. He knew if he opens the eye, there is a possibility that he may fall into the situation. That was his fear. But Naranarayana Rishi was not like that. Markandeya Rishi still did not trust his mind. Still did not trust his own mind. To that extent, Markandeya Rishi is different from Naranarayana Rishi. Naranarayana Rishi was so confident that he was least disturbed, even in spite of all these beautiful women had come from the heavenly planets. It didn't happen. He was such a powerful person that he could beat his thighs and from there create such a beautiful personality called Urvashi. So he didn't open his eyes and they all walked away. He didn't open his eyes, so they all went back. So when they went back, Indra was a little bit peaceful. So from this test, what Indra has done on Markandeya, Markandeya has won the test, and actually the person who got more happy, the one who got more happy with this situation was Naranarayana Rishi. Naranarayana Rishi felt that Markandeya has done a splendid job, not falling down into the techniques what Indra has used. In other words, Markandeya's strength was very much appreciated by Naranarayana Rishi. So, that time, Naranarayana Rishi says, is there such a person in this Bharata Bhumi who is so powerful that who can withstand all the temptations of the heavenly planets which he has tried to use? So, Naranarayana Rishi appears there in front of Markandeya Maharshi and says to him, they asked Markandeya Maharshi, what boon do you want from us? What blessing or boon do you want from us? Markandeya Maharshi says to him, when I see you people like Naranarayana Rishi, I don't need any other blessing from you. Seeing yourself is the greatest blessing what I could have. And I don't need anything. But he said, I sometimes think like that. I have heard a thing called Maya. He said. I've heard a thing called Maya, but I don't know what it is, this thing called Maya, he says to him. I studied about that in the Shastra, he said, Maya. But in experience, I don't have it, what this thing called Maya is. And sometimes I thought, he said, I wouldn't mind having a little taste of this thing called Maya. That is how Markandeya answered that question to him. So, so, when saying like that, now this is not a benediction, is it not? Benediction means you are asking for something, some material benefit. This is not a material benefit. He's saying to them that if I ask this is not a material benefit. If you ask, it's a what they call as a blessed benediction, it is, isn't it? But this is not a benediction. He said like this, I always heard about this Maya, but I would like to know what it is. He put it in a very simple way. Markandeya put it in a simple way. So that is how Markandeya mentioned this. So Naranarayana Rishis, they told him that you will be able to see Maya. It's not a very difficult thing. Saying that, Naranarayana Rishi walked away from there, leaving him there. So from the many verses there, it's teaching us what does Maya means. What does Maya means? Is it not? We get so absorbed in this world and we think everything is real here. Isn't it? But we don't never understand there is a thing called Maya working here. We are never able to come to terms with it. So, what happened to Markandeya? Markandeya sat there. Narayana Rishi, you will get it sometime. Just stay as you are. We are going. And they left. So, Naranarayana Maharshi's ashram is not far away from Markandeya Maharshi's ashram in Badrinath. This is all happening in the Badri ashram. So they are walking back. You will see that picture they have drawn. Devotees have drawn a picture. Narayana Rishi walking back. Markandeya Rishi sitting in meditation. It is at that time, suddenly, he saw lightning and thunder, heavy rains all over. And the rains, everything started getting flooded, including the Himalayas, all flooded, including the Everest, everything is flooded. Everything is flooded. And whenever he looked all over, he could only see water, water, and waves of water everywhere. And in that water, he is seeing all the aquatics, all the animals, what's present in the water. So, and Markandeya felt that he is swimming in that water. He is swimming in the water. And every time he is fighting against the different powerful waves that's coming. And sometimes he is going underneath the water, sometimes he is coming up. And he has drank a lot of water as well in that state. And sometimes he felt he is dead. But then he gets back life again. And that is then he realized that I am swimming in this water. I am swimming in this water. And everything Markandeya Maharshi experienced in that water. So here there is a difference. Sridhara Swami says this. Rajaraja Swami is coming. He says this Maya, what Markandeya is experiencing, is out of the mercy of Krishna. The Maya what we are experiencing is not Krishna's mercy. It's a big difference. Is it not? That Maya which was given to Markandeya, Sridharacharya says this, that it is Krishna's mercy to him. And we are also experiencing that Maya. But what we have taken it so seriously. Markandeya was not able to take it seriously. That was the difference. For us, we are taking birth, we are dying. In between happiness, distress, fighting, quarreling, arguing, all kinds of vyavaharam we do here. And finally we disappear. You can imagine yourself. We don't even know where we have come from, do we? We don't also know why we are here. Really, I mean nobody knows this. Nobody has answer to all these questions. We also don't know where we are going. Three things. Why we have come here, from where we have come, we don't know. Why we are here, we don't know. Where are we going, we don't know. But we are very serious. Too busy about everything what we are doing here. Is it not? Does it not show the level of ignorance in us? Is it not indicating to us where we are today, where we stand? Is it not? The ignorance. So we are also in the same Maya, what Krishna has put in Markandeya into it. But Markandeya is going through this out of Krishna's mercy. In the sense that Markandeya wants to have it, Krishna said you can have it. Whereas we didn't ask for it, but Krishna has put us into this Maya so deeply absorbed that we are able to take it so seriously, this life and everything what's happening here. It affects us so much. So much it affects us. We are committing suicide. We are committing all kinds of murder here. We are trying to other living entities. All sorts of things. And no time we think there is an effect of Maya here. Isn't it? So that difference is you have to notice here. With Markandeya and us. Markandeya and us. So the difference. Another thing is Markandeya has gone through this for 7 manus time. So imagine how long that is. What is it indicating to us? That time and space is also in Krishna's control. If he makes you feel that 7 manus time has gone through, then that is true for you. Time has no meaning, is it not? Time has no meaning. We with our clock and watches, we are thinking that we have got a complete control on the time. But in Krishna's way is such, he can make you experience everything. 7 manus lifetime, Markandeya experienced in that water. He said 7 manus time has passed through. He felt like that in the water. So if Krishna puts you into a situation like that, you have no choice. That is why Krishna is called Kala Swarupi. Time is Krishna. Time is nobody else than time is a form of Krishna which bewilders us in Maya and puts us in Maya. So Markandeya is swimming. The seven minus time is swimming in this water. So suddenly he looked everywhere and he could see there is a little boy, a little baby there, and in the tree of the banyan tree leaf he is lying there, and the baby even cannot turn upside down. That small the baby is. And in the Vilamangalam says that form of Krishna, Kararavindena Padaravindam Mugharavinde Vinimeshayandam Vadasya Patrasya Pudeshayanam Bhalam Mugundam Manasasmarami. That famous verse from Vilamangalam mentions this in the Karnamadam. That is the state of Krishna's form at that time. Holding the this toe and putting into the mouth and sucking that. Kararavindena Padaravindam Mugharavinde Vinimeshayandam. His lotus face is looking all over. Vadasya Putrasya Patrasya Pudeshayanam is lying in the banyan tree leaf. Balam Mugunda Balan Manasasmarami. I remember him, Krishna says there. So that Mugunda Balan. So he is drinking his and he's lying in that water. Vilumangalam mentions this. He says it in a nice way. He says that Krishna got some time to drink his own the toe. Sometimes babies do all that kind of thing. We also must have done it. Now we think, oh, it's all very childish. But we also had done all these kind of things when we were babies, isn't it? So so that is what that situation talking about. So Krishna says that tastes more than the sweet rice, the toe. When the babies suck that with a lot of happiness, you'll be amazed how much happiness they get from that. Even if you give them food, they won't show any interest. Just like they suck the thumb, isn't it? You know, in the ninth canto it says why this thumb sucking has started with the babies. That Mandhadha story. Indra told him, Mamdhada, and put the finger into the baby's mouth. Mamdhada. And from there, Mamdhada started this, and apparently from then, all the babies started sucking the thumb. Similarly, Krishna started sucking the toe, and we also started sucking the same thing later. So, so when this happened, that means between our Markandeya, Naranarayana Rishi realized that Markandeya is suffering only for a very short period of time. And so, when Markandeya saw this baby Krishna sucking the toe, Markandeya wanted to approach Krishna, this Bala Mugunda form, which is in the tree. Krishna was enjoying the toe. He didn't want anybody to disturb him at that time. So, just like you can see when, suppose you manage to steal some Mahaprasadam and you're trying to enjoy it, somebody else comes to you and says to you, oh, you don't want to share with me. Or you don't want to share with anybody else, how would you feel? You wanted to have it on your own. In the same way, Krishna was trying to enjoy on himself. So, that is not possible. Sometimes you can see in the big feast and all, they cook a lot of different sweets, everything. So, after everybody has fed and gone, some of the cooks, they want to sit peacefully and enjoy everything what they have cooked plenty. And suppose at that time somebody comes and looks through the window and sees that he's having a great time. Let me also share. They don't like it. They won't welcome you at that time. Similarly, here Krishna is enjoying his sweet rice in this way by sucking the toe. Markandeya is watching them. So what did Krishna do at that time when this happened? Krishna had inhaled, and in that breath Markandeya gone inside through the nostril, inside the body, Krishna's body. inside Krishna's body, Markandeya has gone through the nostril. One of the nostrils he got inside. And how will he go into through that such a small nostril, a baby's nostril? How a person like Markandeya can get in? Markandeya can get in. So there you can't apply your logic in all these things. Remember that story with Narada Maharshi? You know? Yeah. And the cobbler. Same thing. These in here, logic has no meaning. Logic has no, logic has, or reasoning cannot work here in these things, isn't it? So, because it is inside this little belly of baby Krishna is the whole creation. Remember that. It's in this little belly of Krishna is the whole creation. And there when Markandeya gone inside, what did he see there? Pushpabhadra river, where he was performing penances, and the ashram, or the hermitage, where he was performing. All these things he's seeing inside, just like Krishna showed this to Yashoda Devi, isn't it? That when he opened the mouth, Yashoda Devi saw whole creation inside the mouth. This is called Maya. This is Maya. That what we think is not possible can be done through Maya. Akhatita ghatana patiyasi Maya. Maya's potency is such that nobody can understand Maya. Nobody can understand Maya. It is the same Maya, that is what I was saying in the beginning, that even Vedavyasa Maharshi's disciples fought each other. Who is behind it? Maya. Maya is there all the time, and you will never be able to fight her. She is not possible. You may be any big sannyasi or guru or whatever you can call, with her you can't play the game. She will make you realize that you are no one compared to her strength. And when he got inside, when he did not understand what is going on, in another breath he came out through the other nostril. He came out from there. And again he started swimming in the water. All this is happening to him. There. He's experiencing all these things, and again three or four times gone in, came out, gone in, came out. So finally Markandeya realized this, that it is no point in going inside or coming outside. Best thing is to take your shelter. Take the shelter of his lotus feet. And that is the reason at that time Krishna is showing the feet to Markandeya. To hold on to that. And you don't try to get in or get out from here. Feet, lotus feet is the shelter. That is why that particular form, Bala Mukunda form, was shown to Markandeya. So, at this time, Markandeya Maharshi realized that I am completely taking your shelter. So, to bring him to this point, this Maya has helped him. And when all these things happened, Markandeya opened his eyes. When he opened his eyes, he realized as he was sitting in the same ashram where he was before. Pushpabhadra river was flowing and he was sitting in his meditation there. In the closed eyes, in that state, he experienced all these things. 7 manus time, he passed through this. And only then he realized there was no floods, there was no rain, and nothing has happened. But every experience he had it. So, all this happened in this meditation, within a few seconds, everything has happened. So, at least at that time, he realized that it is better to take Krishna's lotus feet as the shelter. So, this shelter point, how after passing through Maya, one has to come to this understanding like Markandeya. That's a lesson for us. Like Markandeya's experience is shown there to us, to make us aware, after you spend years and years in this Maya, which we are living now, one day you have to come to this conclusion. It is better to take Krishna shelter rather than continue playing this game with Maya. That is the message here. That is why this 12th canto is what? Ashrayam, isn't it? Shelter. Shelter of the living entities. That is the example of that is this Markandeya story. If you remember, in the second canto, അത്രസർഗോ വിസർഗസ്ച സ്ഥാനം പോഷണം ഉദയ മന്വന്തരം ഈശാനുകഥ നിരോധം മുക്തി ആശ്രയം. സോ ആശ്രയം ഓർ ഷെൽട്ടർ ഈസ് ദ റൈറ്റ് തിങ് ടു ഡു, ഈസ് ദ ബെസ്റ്റ് തിങ് ടു ഡു. ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് ദ പോയിന്റ് കമ്മിങ് ത്രൂ മാർക്കണ്ഡേയ സ്റ്റോറി. That means any several lifetimes you can go on doing this in this maya, but you won't get anywhere till you hold on to Krishna's lotus feet. Taking Krishna's shelter is the answer to all the problems. So that is what has been taught here. So Markandeya Maharshi continued his meditation, and when this realization happened to him, it was at that point Markandeya Maharshi woke up, and when he woke up and closed his eyes again with this realization, at that time Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati comes there, and they stood in front of him. Sri Parvati and Shiva were passing through. So Shiva says to Sri Parvati, there sits one brahmachari there, Markandeya. We should go and see him. We should go and see him. So Markandeya didn't open his eyes. He was sitting with his eyes closed. Sri Parvati and Shiva is standing in the front. Shri Parvati says to Shiva, why does he not open his eyes? That time Shiva says to Sri Parvati, I will tell you what it is. Inside in meditation, it is Bala Mukunda. That Mukunda form on the leaf, on the banyan leaf, he is meditation on that. He is established in that. Suddenly, what did Shiva do? Shiva moved that from inside and got inside Markandeya. Markandeya is inside, Shiva got inside. So suddenly, instead of seeing Bala Mukunda, Mukunda form, he started seeing Shiva inside. And Markandeya was confused. He opened his eyes and he saw Shiva and Parvati standing in the front. Just to show in the Srimad Bhagavatam that if you please Krishna, Shiva is pleased with you. If you please Shiva, Krishna is pleased with you. It is never one against the other. It's not like that. That Shiva was pleased with Markandeya, that he decided to give darshanam to, if you please Krishna, all other devadas come and give you darshan at the same time. So immediately, as soon as they saw Shiva, Markandeya Maharshi paid his obeisances to Shiva and Parvati, and Shiva asked him, we are so pleased with your penances, with your austerity, what benediction should we give you? And Markandeya Maharshi, previously when Narayana Maharshi has asked him, what blessing do you want? Is it not? So at that time, Markandeya asked for Maya. That was the blessing he wanted. Want to experience this Maya, isn't it? But he had enough of that now. He had tasted Maya. It was a taster session of Maya. And that was enough for him. And he remembered that how much salt water he had to drink in that process. 7 manus time he had gone through that, isn't it? So Markandeya says to him, please don't offer me anything. He says to Lord Shiva. And because of that presence of Maya, what I have tasted, I was able to see Krishna's form inside. And I had enjoyed that meditation of Krishna lying in the banyan tree leaf, banyan leaf. And I enjoyed that. Lord Shiva knew everything, what was happening. He says to him, only when you have thirst, then when you drink water, you will relish it. Similarly, out of our compassion, we showed you what Maya is. You have tasted Maya. So, therefore, nothing wrong. Through that Maya, you have realized that shelter is Krishna. Trying to take shelter of Maya is not a good thing. Anyway, you should ask for some benediction, he says. So, there you will see in the Bhagavadam how that benediction comes from them. In the Puran Acharya Dastude, he says there. Hmm. 34th verse in the 10th chapter of the 12th canto. Varamegam vrnedhabhim purnat kama bhivarshanal bhagavadi achyudam bhakti talpareshu tathatvai. This was the benediction he asked for. Who? Markandeya Maharshi. What was that? Bhagavati Achyudam Bhakti. Pure devotion to Krishna. Pure devotion to Krishna. Talpareshu tadha tvai. Similarly, towards you, towards Lord Shiva, and also to all the devotees. All your devotees. This is how he asked for the benediction. You see that? Varamegam vrnedhabi purnal kamabhi varshanal Bhagavati Achyudam Bhakti. Talpareshu tadha tvai. Talpareshu tadha tvai. So, this is the only benediction I'm asking for, he says. And there was a lot of conversation between the Rishi and Lord Shiva. There he mentions there that Srishtyadam manasa visham atmanani pravishaya gunai kurvad bhirabhadi karteve sopnadrik yatha. Then, this is all talking about the power of Maya. Maya means three modes of material nature, isn't it? Satogunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. Due to the power of that, creation happens. Through the three modes of material nature, the creation happens. So, then he glorify him. Tasmai namo bhagavate trigunaya gunalpane kevalaya adhidiyaya gurave brahma murtaye. Kambrunenu varam bhuvan varantad varadarshanat yad darshanat purnagama satyagama puman bhaved. So finally, that was the benediction given to him. This is what he asked. Markandeya Maharshi asked this, the 34th verse. Varamegam vrnedhabi purnal kamabhivarshanal bhagavatyachudam bhakti talpareshu tathatvai. Bhagavatyachudam bhakti, pure devotion to Krishna. Talpareshu tathatvai, towards the devotees and also towards you. Markandeya Maharshi asked this question. In answer to that, Lord Shiva says to him, Kamo Maharshe Sarvoyam Bhakti Mamstum Athokshaje A Kalpandar Yasha Punyam Ajaram Arada Tatha. He says, you will get that pure devotion to Srihari, to Krishna. And because it is there, your fame will remain forever in this world. And your fame, and also you will not reach old age or death. These things won't happen to you, old age and death. Punyam ajaramarada tatha, he says. Agalpandad yashas, forever fame. Markandeya Maharshi is well known for his one of the personalities who never die. Chiranjeevi he is. Yasha punyam ajaramarada tatha. Ajaramarada means that jara, old age won't happen, death, maranam won't happen to him. When all these things happen, Lord Shiva gave this blessing to Markandeya Maharshi and he was ready to leave. At that time, Sri Parvati felt a lot of mercy as a mother, seeing these little boys, strength of meditation and strength in penances and austerities, and how he has succeeded in fighting Maya and not falling, getting victimized by Maya. Seeing all that, Sri Parvati was very, very pleased with him. She says to Shiva, wait a minute, I also have something to give it to him. Not only Shiva gave the benedictions, Parvati also gave some benedictions. And that is that next verse you will see there. What is Parvati's benediction to her? That he says to him that Pura Jaya Dastude, he says, Jnanam Traigaligam Brahman Vijnanam Cha Viraktimad Brahma Varchasino Bhuyad Purana Jaya Dastude. This is all Sri Parvati's benediction. What is that? Jnanam Traigaligam Brahman Trigala Jnanam, past, present and future, that knowledge has given to him. Vijnanam Cha Viraktimad, full self-realization of the of the knowledge of Jiva and Brahman, that oneness. Oneness of the knowledge of the self, in other words. Full realization of that there is no difference between the self and the Brahman. I am Brahman, that full realization. Brahma Varchasino Bhuya, that is called Brahma Varchasa. And Brahma Varchasino Bhuya, when you have that realization, he has got Brahma Varchasa. Brahma Varchasa means this, that fully self-realized soul, he has got Brahma Varchasa. Brahma Varchasa is their potency. So, Vijnanam cha Viraktimat, full knowledge and full renunciation. Vijnanam means full knowledge and Virakti means full renunciation. Brahmavarchasino bhuyat. And due to that, he will have the full Brahmavarchasa, Brahman realization, or Brahmatejasa, it's called. Then finally, she gave him this also, Purana Acharya Dastude, Acharya for all the Puranas. If you want to understand Puranams from anyone, Markandeya Maharshi is the authority of all the Puranam. All Puranams' authority is Markandeya Maharshi. That's the reason Markandeya Maharshi used to recite all the Puranams for the Pandavas. You will see in the Bhagavatam. That, so, this Jnanam Traigaligam Brahman Vijnanam Javiraktiman Brahma Varchasino Bhuyat Purana Acharya Dastude. This is all Sri Parvati's benediction. And Lord Shiva has given the benediction Yashap Punya Ajara Marada Tatha. So Shiva gave some, Sri Parvati also gave everything to Markandeya Maharshi. And all the Puranas are his compilation. Although Vedavyasa is compiled, but Markandeya Maharshi is the main personality behind it. All that you can see in that three chapters of Markandeya Maharshi's story. And here, Jnanam, Traigalika Jnanam, that complete knowledge of everything, Purana Acharya Dastude, Marka Shiva and Parvati disappeared after that. From that place, he has disappeared. So, it is due to this, that this blessing from Lord Shiva, Markandeya Maharshi has escaped birth and death. That's the message there. Through Lord Shiva's blessing, Markandeya Maharshi escaped from birth and death, and he also became the Acharya for all the Puranas. And also, he got this knowledge of past, present and the future, everything. And so, we also need all these things. Isn't it? That is the indication from all these things. But, for example, if you want to hear about Krishna, Krishna's pastimes, and we require strength to hear Krishna's pastimes. First of all, you need a body without serious problems. Otherwise, how will you hear? You will always, you can observe this with people when they are suffering heavily with mind or body, no attraction for hearing about Krishna. Find it very difficult. And you require some Shraddha inside to hear about Krishna. Shraddha is necessary. And similarly, when you hear these pastimes, Krishna's pastimes, Srimad Bhagavatam, you require some good intelligence also to analyze it properly. All this is necessary. A healthy body, a good Shraddha inside, and capacity to analyze things properly inside. So therefore, these things are given by Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva gives this to the devotees. So, this story is only to indicate to us that what Lord Shiva offered him to Markandeya. Purana Acharya Dastude, Jnanam Traigaligam Brahmam, Vijnana Viraktimat. Everything is possible that even by serving Shiva Parvati, because Parvati is Vidya, Vidya Surubini. Vidya and knowledge, and knowledge and ignorance is also her. She is managing. She is managing Maya, isn't it? So her position is, she will give you, in other words, unless Sri Parvati releases from Maya, it is difficult even to serve Krishna. Difficult to serve Krishna. Remember, gopis took shelter. Kartyayini Mahamaye Mahayogini Adishwari. That is why that particular pastime shown in the 10th canto. They took shelter of Kartiyayani, Sri Parvati. Why? Mahamaye. You can see how she is addressed there. Mahamaye. Mahayogini. Greatest of all the yogis. Adhishwari. She keeps everybody under control. So unless she gives the release note, it is not possible even to take Krishna consciousness seriously. Even there we will fail. We will go with our plan, but Maya will work in another way and throws out from there. So, so as long as we serve her, it's not going to be at any time a loss. Because when she gives you that release note, your Krishna consciousness also will go faster, will get stronger. Even there she has a strong influence in there. When Vedavyasa Maharshi saw Krishna, how did she see him? You remember in the first canto that he saw Krishna standing there, side by side, Maya Devi also standing there. Put that shutter, curtain there. Is it not? You'll see in the first canto. That, so that's the same thing. This is the message here. That Srimad Bhagavatam has this message to all of us. That if you are saving Krishna properly, if you save Krishna properly, even Sri Parvati and Lord Shiva also will come forward and give us all the necessary help we need in spiritual life. Whatever we need in spiritual life. So here, one more thing it has shown here. Lord Shiva's special position is also explained. If you analyze, read Bhagavatam regularly, you will notice Shiva's special position there. What is shown is that this Shiva, Vishnu, this Veda Buddhi, difference is not there in the Bhagavatam. That we start singing, this is higher, this is lower. That thing has not been spoken. That supreme truth, the absolute truth, it dressed up in different forms, comes in front of us, and it's showing this Markandeya Maharshi story finishes in that three chapters. Then in 12 months, how the sun travels, and 12 suns are present in the sun planet as the predominating deities. In 12 months, 12 different personalities, and that is what is explained in the next chapter. And then in Krishna's worshipping Krishna, many, many big personalities is spoken there. That means so many tattvam is present there. For example, when we are, this is all in the Kriya Yoga, what we have spoken before in the 27th chapter, what was not spoken is spoken here in this chapter. That how when you are performing the deity worship, that what sankalpam and dhyanam, meditation on what form, that is what is shown here. So, whatever questions Shaunak Rishis and other Rishis were present there, what they have asked to Sudha Goswami have already been answered, everything has been answered. And with this, the Srimad Bhagavatam is more or less finished. Now the next chapter, that is the 12th chapter, is nothing but a mananam. Mananam means what you have read through Srimad Bhagavatam, all through, heard so far, a summary of that, you are again repeating it. Once again, what do you say? You are refreshing it in your mind. That's called mananam, isn't it? So, and this is necessary. That 12th chapter is that mananam. And this is spoken in the glorification of Bhagavatam in the other Puranams. Why it is necessary? After you have heard Bhagavatam for a long time, mananam is necessary. Otherwise, Rishis knew very well that if Shravanam has happened and if mananam has not happened, when you go home, you'll forget everything. So therefore, what they have done, that normally Bhagavatam is spoken in 7 days' time. So after hearing 7 days' time, mananam is necessary. And it is from mananam that you will get the complete result from that. That means whatever you have heard before, once again remembering that. But actually mananam is not to be done here. It is to be done after going home. But we are so busy, we don't have time, isn't it? Actually, that is what is expected. After hearing Bhagavatam, Shravanam process, then mananam has to be performed at home. After hearing Bhagavatam for a long time, we have to go through Bhagavatam again. So they knew that will not happen. Listeners are same everywhere. So they also knew that. So therefore what they have done, they themselves have done this. The rishis, Shaunagadi rishis who are present there, they said, we won't let them go easily like that. We'll keep them for another hour or so and make them to go through that 12th chapter. And if you look at the 12th chapter, you will see it's a whole summary of Srimad Bhagavatam. What was spoken from 1 to 12 cantos. All the 12 canto story. And remembering this once again, that is mananam. That is one thing. Secondly, that's one reason to do this. To repeat the whole thing once again in a short way, in a summary form. That's mananam. Second reason is, in Bhagavatam, we have started many years ago, and all of us were not there. All of you were not there. Some people came in the middle, some people left us in the middle. So it is, that is how it is always. It's always like that. You won't be there, and some people slept all the way through, and some people had no time to listen, mind was somewhere else. So we got a variety of people listening to Bhagavatam. Is it not? When you look at audience, you will see all these different categories of people. Some people listened very carefully, some people listened it many times. Some people took it, oh, it's all nothing interesting, left it like that. In this way, everybody who had listened to Bhagavatam for months or years or something, they may not have listened everything. They may have picked up something here, something there, like this, they have gone. Isn't it? So, similarly, listeners who have listened, there will be all these shortcomings in everybody. Isn't it? Some people come late, some people leave early. All this is a part of this Bhagavatam process. So, similarly, there will be a lot of defects in the person who has spoken also. He also may not have known everything correctly. He may have spoken something. So, and therefore, for a long time we may have heard Bhagavatam, but there will be a lot of deficiencies in that. But therefore, Rishi says to us, even if there are some deficiencies in all that, what you have heard, what you have missed, or what you have forgotten, or what you have misunderstood, whatever it may be, repeat this once again, this whole chapter. That is this 12th chapter. That is why this 12th chapter is important in the 12th canto. The importance of this 12th chapter is this, that all that what we missed, or what we have forgotten, or what we have were not able to come, or whatever reason it has happened in our life, due to our prarabdham, whatever that has taken. So, Acharya says to us, if you repeatedly read this 12th chapter, it will again bring you back into the understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam better. It is in that way this 12th chapter is written. We will read that chapter because it is considered to be, at least if you listen to that chapter, even if you haven't, if you have missed anything, at least those words will remain. 12th chapter. Shri Suta Uvacham. Namo Dharmaya Mahate, Namakrishnaya Vethase, Brahmanibhyo Namaskritya, Dharman Vakshye Sanatanan. Edadhukkadidam Vipra, Vishnos Charidamal Buddham, Bhavadbiryadaham Prishto, Naranam Purusho Chidam. Atra Sangirtida Sapshal, Sarva Baba Haro Hari, Narayano Krishikesho, Bhagavan Satvadam Padi. അത്ര ബ്രഹ്മപരം ഗുഹ്യം ജഗത പ്രഭവാപ്യയം ജ്ഞാനം ച തദുപാഖ്യാനം പ്രോക്തം വിജ്ഞാന സംയുതം ഭക്തിയോഗ സമാഖ്യാതോ വൈരാഗ്യം ച തദാശ്രയം പാരീക്ഷിതമുപാഖ്യാനം നാരദാഖ്യാനമേവ ച പ്രായോപവേശോ രാജർഷേർ വിപ്രശാപാത് പരീക്ഷിത ശുഗസ്യ ജൈവ ബ്രഹ്മർഷേ സംവാദശ്ച പരീക്ഷിതാഃ യോഗധാ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ ഫേസ്റ്റ് കാൻഡോ സമറൈസ്ഡ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് വൺ വേർഡ്സ് യോഗധാരണയോത്ക്രാന്തി സംവാദോ നാരദാജയോ അവതാരാനുഗീതം ച സർഗ പ്രാധാനികോഗ്രദാഃ ദാറ്റ്സ് ദ സെക്കൻഡ് കാൻഡോ വിദുരോദ്ധവ സംവാദം ക്ഷത്രമൈത്രേയോസ്തത പുരാണ സംഹിത പ്രശ്നോ മഹാപുരുഷ സംസ്ഥിതി ഫ്രം തേർഡ് കാൻഡോ തഥ പ്രാകൃതിയ സർഗം സപ്തവൈത്രികാശ്ചയേ വൈകൃതികാശ്ചയേ തഥോ ബ്രഹ്മാണ്ട സംഭൂതി വൈരാജ പുരുഷോ യഥാ കാലസ്യ സ്ഥൂല സൂക്ഷ്മസ്യ ഗതി പത്മ സമുത്ഭവ ഭുവ ഉദ്ധരണയം ഭോതിർ ഹിരണ്യാക്ഷവധോ യഥാ ഊർധ്വതിര്യകവാക്സർഗോ രുദ്രസർഗസ്തഥൈവ ച അർദ്ധനാരീ നരസ്യാത യഥ സ്വയംഭുവോ മനു ശതരൂപാചയാ സ്ത്രീണാം ആദ്യാ പ്രകൃതിരുത്തമ സന്താനോ ധർമ്മപത്നീനാം കർദമസ്യ പ്രജാപതേ അവതാരോ ഭഗവത കപിലസ്യ മഹാത്മന ദേവഹൂത്യാശ്ച സംവാദം കപിലേന ച ധീമത നവബ്രഹ്മ സമുൽപത്തി ഓൾ ദോസ് വേഴ്സസ് ഫ്രം 8 ടു 13 ഈസ് ഓൾ അബൌട്ട് തേർഡ് കാൻഡോ ദൻ 14th begins the fourth canto. Navabrahma samulpatti dakshayajna vinashanam dhruvasya jaridam paschal pratho prajina barhisha naradasya jasamvadam stada praya vradam dvija nabhestadonu jaridam rishabasya bharadasya cham തദോ ദീപ സമുദ്രാദ്രി വർഷനദ്യുപവർണനം ജ്യോതിശ്ചക്രസ്യ സംസ്ഥാനം പാതാള നരകസ്ഥിതി ഫിഫ്ത് കാൻഡോ ദക്ഷജന്മ പ്രജയേതോഭ്യ തൽപുത്രീണാം ച സന്തതി യതോ ദേവസുരാ നരാ സ്ഥിര്യം നഖ ഖഗാദയാ ത്വാഷ്ടസ്യ ജന്മനിധനം പുത്രയോശ്ച തിതേർ ദ്വിജാഃ ദൈത്യേശ്വരസ്യ ചരിതം പ്രഹ്ലാദസ്യ മഹാത്മനാം ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ സിക്സ്ത് കാൻഡോ ആൻഡ് സെവൻത് കാൻഡോ ഓൾസോ പാർട്ട്ലി ദയർ മന്യന്തരാനുചരിതം ഗജേന്ദ്രസ്യ വിമോക്ഷണം മന്യന്തരവതാരശ്ച വിഷ്ണോർഹർഷി രാധയ എയ്റ്റ് കാൻഡോ കൗർമ്മം മാത്സ്യം നാരസിംഹം വാമനം ജുജകൽപ്പതേ ക്ഷീരോദമഥനം തദ്വത് അമൃതാർത്ഥേ ദിവസം ദേവാസുര മഹായുദ്ധം രാജവംശാനുകീർത്തനം ഇക്ഷ്വാകുജന്മതദ്വംശ സുദ്യുമ്നസ്യ മഹാത്മന ഇളോപാഖ്യാനമത്രോക്തം താരോപാഖ്യാനമേവ ച സൂര്യവംശാനുകഥനം ശശാദാദ്യാ മൃഗാദയ സൗകന്യം ചാശര്യാദേ കുകുൽസ്ഥസ്യ ച ധീമഥ ഗഠ്വാംഗസ്യ ച മാന്ധാതു സൗഭരേ സകരസ്യ ച രാമസ്യ കോസലേന്ദ്രസ്യ ചരിതം കിൽപിഷാവഹം നിമരേംഗപരിത്യാഗോ ജനകാനാം ച സംഭവ ഇറ്റ്സ് ഓൾ ദ നൈൻത് കാൻഡോ രാമസ്യ ഭാർഗവേന്ദ്രസ്യ നിക്ഷത്രകരണം ഭുവ അയളസ്യ സ്വമവംശസ്യ യയാതിർനഹുഷസ്യ ച ദൗഷ്യന്തിർഭരതസ്യ ഭീഷന്ദനോത്തൽസുതസ്യ ച യയാതിർജ്യേഷ്ഠപുത്രസ്യ യദോർ വംശാനുകീർത്തിത ദെൻ ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് ഫിനിഷസ് ദി നൈൻത് കാൻഡോ ദെൻ യത്രാവതീർണോ ഭഗവാൻ കൃഷ്ണാഖ്യോ ജഗദീശ്വര വസുദേവ ഗൃഹേ ജന്മ തഥോ വൃദ്ധിശ്ച ഗോകുലേ ടെൻത് കാൻഡോ തസ്സ കർമാണി ഭാരാണി കീർത്തിധാന്യസുരദ്വിഷ പൂതനാസുവയപ്പാനം ശകടോച്ചാടനം ശിശോ തൃണാവർത്യസ്യ നിഷ്പേഷം സ്തഥൈവ ഭഗവത്സയോ ദേനുകസ്യ സഹഭ്രാതോ പ്രളംബസ്യ ച സംക്ഷയ ഗോപാനാം ച പരിത്രാണം ദാവാഗ്നേ പരിസർപ്പദ ദമനം കാളിയസ്യ ഹേർ മഹാർഹേർ നന്ദമോക്ഷണം വ്രതചര്യാതു കന്യാനാം യത്ര ദുഷ്ടോച്ചിതോ വ്രതൈ പ്രസാദോ യജ്ഞപത്നീഭ്യാം വിപ്രാണാം ചാനുതാപനം ഗോവർദ്ധനോദ്ധാരണം ച ശക്രസ്യ സുരഭൈരഥ യജ്ഞാഭിഷേകം കൃഷ്ണസ്യ സ്ത്രീഭീ ക്രീഡാചരാത്രിഷു ശംഖചൂണ്ടസ്യ ദുർബുദ്ധിർ വധോരിഷ്ടസ്യ കേശിനാം അക്രൂരാഗമനം പശ്ചാൽ പ്രസ്ഥാനം രാമകൃഷ്ണയോ വ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം വിലാപശ്ച മധുരാലോകനം തഥാ ഗജമുഷ്ടിക ച നൂരം കംസാദീനാം ച യോ വധ മൃതസ്യാനയനം സുനോ പുനഃ സാന്ദീപനേർ ഗുരോ മധുരായാം നിവസതോ യതു ചക്രസ്യൽ പ്രിയം കൃതമുദ്ധവ രാമാഭ്യാം യുധേന ഹരിണാ ദ്വിജ ജരാസന്ധ സമാനിതം സൈന്യസ്യ ബഹുശോ വധ ഘാതനം യവനേന്ദ്രസ്യ കുശസ്ഥല്യാ നിവേശനം ആദാനം പരിജാതസ്യ സുധർമായ സുരാലയാൻ രുക്മിണ്യാഹരണം യുദ്ധേ പ്രമധ്യതിഷതോ ഹരേ ഹരസ്യ ജൃംഭണം യുദ്ധേ ബാണസ്യ ഭുജക്രന്ദനം പ്രാജ്യോതിഷപതിം ഹത്വ കന്യാനാം ഹരണം ജയൽ ചൈദ്യ പൗണ്ഡ്രകശാല്വാനാം ദന്തവക്ത്രസ്യ ദുർമതേ ശമ്പരോധി വിദപ്പീഡോ മുരപ്പഞ്ചജനാദയ മഹാത്മജവതസ്തേഷാം വാരാണസ്യാശ്ചദാഹനം ഭാരാവതരണം ഭൂമേർ നിമിത്തീകൃത്യ പാണ്ഡവാൻ വിപ്രശാപാവദേശേന സംഹാര സകലസ്യ ച. 11th കാൻഡോ ബിഗിൻസ് ദേർ. ഉദ്ധവസ്യ സംവാദോ വാസുദേവസ്യ ചാൽപുത യത്താത്മവിദ്യ അഖിലാ പ്രോക്ത ധർമ്മവിനിർണയം തതോ ദെൻ 12th കാൻഡോ തതോ മർത്യപരിത്യാഗം ആത്മയുഗാനുഭാവതാം യുഗലക്ഷണവൃത്തിശ്ച കലോ നൃണാം ഉപപ്ലവാം. ദെൻ ഫോർ ദാറ്റ് ഫിനിഷസ് ദി 12th കാൻഡോസ് ദേർ. And he said there, what discussed in the 12th canto, Chaturvidascha pralayam, ulpati srivitha tada, dehatyagascha rajasya vishnuradasya dhimate, shakha pranayam rishir markandeyase salkatha, mahabrusha vinyasam suryasya jagadalpana, iti choktam dujashrashta, yat prishtoham hihasmiva, lilavadara karmani, kirtidaniha sarvada. There finishes there. And then, one important verse in the Bhagavadam. What is that? There is only one thing to do here. That padida skalido vartam shutvava vivasho bruvan haraye nama ityuchai muchade sarvapadagal. That the result of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam glorifying Krishna is that padida skalido vartam shutvava vivasho bruvan. By accident if one falls, trips, or when one is suffering heavily through illnesses, body or the mind, in all these situations, chutvava vivasho bruvan, that even if in that helpless state, if he says this one word, what is that? Haraye nama. Obeisances to Hari. Obeisances to Krishna. Obeisances to Hari. That person will escape from here, from his misery. He will come out of it. But that has to happen. When we are suffering heavily here with the body, mind, or various problems in life, whatever it is, it affects us, isn't it? When it comes to that, Krishna is saying to us, Sudha Goswami is saying here, Haraye Nama, very loudly one should chant, Haraye Nama, ityuchai, muchare sarvapadagal, it will free that person from the sinful reactions. Why do we suffer? Due to sinful activities, is it not? All our misery in life is due to our own creation. Nobody else has to be blamed for that. We have done sinful activities, sinful and reactions are coming back to us. That is prarabdham. So even in the middle of all this prarabdham, when one is suffering, Krishna is saying to us, take the shelter of the holy name. Haraye nama ityuchai muchyade sarvapadagal. It will reduce the intensity. Because the sinful activities what we have done is so high and the spiritual activity what we have done is so little. That is why that sinful reactions is not leaving us. It is following us throughout the life in one form or the other. As I said before, we don't know why we have come here. Where we have come, we have no idea. We don't know where we are going. And in the middle of all this misery we are experiencing, Krishna is saying here, Haraye Nama. Pay your respects to Hari. Sangirtyamano Bhagavan Anandam Shudani Bhavo Vyasanam Hipumsam Pravishya Chittam Vidhinotya Shesham Yadatam Orko Brahmivati Vatam. That Krishna's glories, Sangirtyamano Bhagavan Anandam, is unlimited. Is unlimited. And Shudani Bhavo Vyasanam Hipumsam. That once it get Sri Hari, Krishna enters in somebody's heart and if he lightens up that knowledge inside, in a person's heart, then just like the sun removes the darkness, or the strong winds remove the clouds away, this knowledge of Sri Hari removes all the ignorance from inside. Mrishagirastha sadirasalkada nakathide yal bhagavana thokshaya tadeva satyam tadaheva mangalam tadeva munyam bhagaval gunodayam. Then, one important point here, Mrishagirastha asadi asatkatha. Asatkatha means all the gramya katha, all the gossip of this world, of various other things. Those things, na kathyade yad bhagavan athokshaja. If that is spoken, and then in that case, it will be all a waste of time, except talking about Krishna. Because adhokshaja means one who is not subjected to our senses, above the senses, adhokshaja. If that is not spoken, then we will talk gramya katha. We will talk about all the useless things of this world, and that is a waste of time. Whereas, and that is what is spoken in the four verses. You can see why Srimad Bhagavatam should be spoken regularly, and why it should be heard regularly. 49, 50, 51, and 52, and 53. All those verses are talking about that, about the repetition of Srimad Bhagavatam, how important it is to hear Bhagavatam again and again. Tadeva ramyam rujiram navam navam, tadeva shashvan manaso mahol savam, tadeva shokarnava shoshanam nranam, iduttama shlogesho nugiyateyam. Nadadvada chitrapadam harir yesho jagal pavitram praganida karhichil, taddu angshaduttam tadu hamsasevidam, itrachudastatra hisadhamo malaham. Then sava visargo janadaga samplavo yasmin pradishlogam avadhavatyabhi namani anandase shongidaniyal shrannandi gayandi granandi sathava. Then sagva visargo janadaga samplavo yasmin pradishlogam avadhavatyabhi. He says here that in different, all the words in the Srimad Bhagavatam is glorification of Krishna. Every single word. And that alone has the capacity to wipe out the sinful reactions of our sinful activities. And pure devotees, they only hear Bhagavatam, nothing else, because of the potency. Bhagavatam is Krishna, isn't it? Srimad Bhagavatakyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi. He says in the Palpuranam. So Pratyaksha Krishna is present in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So one does not, there are personalities who continuously hearing Bhagavatam again and again and again throughout life and pass their time in this world in that way, not worrying about talking about any other subject in this world. So they will only talk namani anandase shongidaniyal shrannandi gayandi granandi sathava. They will hear, they will sing that, and they will granandi sathava. They talk about that, they hear that, they sing that, and they talk about that. And that removes savag visargo janadhaga samplavo. The result of that is that the sinful reactions of all people, that is removed by janadhaga samplavo. Akham means sinful reactions. That is completely destroyed, it says here. Naishkarmim abhi achyuda bhava varjitam, na shobhade jnanamalam niranjanam, kudappa na shashvata abhadram ishwari, na harpitam karma yadapya anuttamam. Another important verse. Prabhupada used to quote this verse. Often you will see in all the lectures. Naishkaramam api naishkaramam api achyuda bhava varjidam na shobhade jnanam alam niranjanam kutapuna shashvat abhadram ishwari na harpitam karma yadapyanuttamam. More than the process of knowledge and the process of karma, more than jnanamargam and karma margam, in this age, one should give more attention to bhakti. That is the message there. Then, and that is what is spoken here. Because even if you are perfect in your karma, and even if you have that knowledge what you have heard from the shastram, if there is no bhakti in the heart, that knowledge and the karma what you have done for Krishna's pleasure, it may not be fructified if there is no bhakti. That means jnanam and karmam must be with bhakti. That is what he is saying here. Naishkarmyam abhi achyuda bhava varjidam na shobade jnanam alam niranjanam. Achyuda bhava varjidam naishkarmyam na shobade. Other words, if Krishna is not in your heart while performing naishkarmyam, suppose you are engaged in karmam to please Krishna, which is called naishkarmam, without any ego in there, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, without the presence of all that, you are engaged in some karmam to please Krishna. But there, just by doing that karmam, it won't please Krishna. Achyuda bhavam is necessary. That's what they are saying there. Naishkarmam abhi achyuda bhava varjidam. Achyuda bhavam is necessary while engaging in karmam for Krishna's pleasure. Achyutabhavam. Achyutabhavam means offering to Krishna with the understanding, let this please Krishna. For Krishna's pleasure, a particular karma is performed. In that way, it has to be executed. Then, na shobhadejnanam alam niranjanam. Even if your knowledge is very good in the Shastram, Upanishads, you have studied everything, and Brahma Sutram, everything you have studied and understood, and it is making all sense to us. But na shobhade jnanam alam niranjanam, it won't also come to your help if it is achyuta bhava varjitam, if there is no surrender to Krishna. Kudapuna shashvat abhadrami ishvare na harpitam karma yadapyanatamam. When it is like this, what good is it if you are going and doing a lot of work in this world thinking that you are going to reach perfection? It will never happen. That's what Bhagavatam is saying there. That means karma yogam, jnana yogam, everything has to be executed in conjunction with bhakti yogam. Bhakti is necessary for everything. That is why I was mentioning before that in Bhagavad Gita also, bhakti is not spoken as a special topic as such is. Although there is a chapter called bhakti yogam. Basically the whole principle there is jnanam and karmam. But because bhakti is a part of everything, without bhakti it has no meaning. That is why, and as a special topic, bhakti is not spoken like the way jnanam and karma is spoken. You can see that in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhakti is an integral part. Whatever process you are following, jnana margam or karma margam or yoga margam, whatever it may be, if bhakti is not there, then it will not fructify. It will not reach the destination. Yashashriyameva parishrama paro varnashrama acharya tapasyadadishu avismriti sridhara padavalmayor gunanuvada shravanad virhare. Constantly hearing avismriti sridhara padavalmayor, not hearing about Krishna and not hearing about not remembering Krishna's lotus feet, gunanuvada shravanad virhare. Without that, any varnashrama dharmam or tapas, austerities and penances, and practicing the knowledge of the Shastram, all these things will not have any benefit at the end. Success depends on this particular thing, that surrender to Krishna and taking Krishna's shelter. Yashashriyam eva parishrama paro varnashrama acharya tapashruta adishu. All these things, yashasya shri, all your parishramam, effort, then varnashrama dharmam, if you are following even that, it will not become tapas, all your austerities and penances, none of them will become successful. Why? Avismriti sridhara padaval mayor gunanuvada shravana adivir hare. That if you are not remembering Krishna in all your life and all your actions, avismriti krishna padara vindayor shino tyabhadrani shamanta nodija sattvasya shuddhim paramatma bhaktim jnanam ja vijnana viraga yuktam. What will happen is that if you remember Krishna all the time, just by remembrance alone, our sinful reactions goes away. And inside you will get purified. Antakaranam will get purified. And the knowledge and the renunciation will naturally comes to us. Yuyam dijagriyapada puri bhagam yachashvat atmanyakhila atmabhudam narayanam devamadevam ishamajasra bhava majada viveshyam. So, aham jasam smaridam atmadattvam shrutam purame paramarshi vaktral prayobaveshe nirpade parikshitam sadasrishinam mahadam jashrunodam. So, there, Shaunagadi, the Sudha Goswami is saying there, these questions what you have raised here gave me an opportunity to talk about Krishna. That is why Krishna was spoken at in detail, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, whole 10th canto is all about Krishna. There are so many things in that 10th canto, but when we come to that, we'll discuss that. How to understand that 10th canto. It's not only stories there, there's a lot more other things. Janmandra sahasreshu yogadhyana samadhibi naranam kshina bhavanam krishne bhakti prajayade. That you may have heard this, sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam is present in all of us. Is it not? But what is Krishna? Krishna is shuddha sattvam. Is it not? Untouched by the three modes. That is called shuddha sattvam. We are malina sattvam. Malina sattvam means we have sattugunam, but there is not pure sattugunam. It is combined with rajogunam and tamogunam. Whereas Krishna is shuddha sattvam. Alma is shuddha sattvam. Jiva is and the Trigunam. Eva is with the Malina Sattva. Even if the jar. So he says, Ahamja Samsmaridam Atmadattam Srutam Virame Paramarshi Vaktral Prayoba Veshe Nirpade Parishita Sadasrishinam Mahadamja Shrunudam. He says here, when Parishita Maharaj decided to give up his body, and many, many great rishis were present there, at that time Shukha Brahmarshi gave the Srimad Bhagavatam, which explains about the self to Parishit, and I heard this from him, says our Sudha Goswami says there. I heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukha Brahmarshi, who spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Parishit. And in that assembly, many, many great sages were present. I was also there, and I heard this from him. And you have given me a great opportunity to remember again all that, what happened at that time. Because here, Sudha Goswami is coming and speaking. Sudha Goswami says that I managed to remember everything what he has spoken. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, you will see Sudha Goswami says, Yathadhitam Yathamati. As much as my memory goes, as much as I have absorbed from Shukha Brahmarshi, I will say that to you. That is Sudha Goswami saying his own limitation while talking to the rishis there. That is in the first canto, first chapter itself. Yathadhitam Yathamati, he says there. Whatever I have understood from Sudeva Goswami, whatever I have absorbed in me, according to my capacity, I will give that to you. This is how he puts it in the beginning. So here he is closing it down, saying that I have spoken everything what I have got from Shukha Brahmarshi. Edadukkatam ipra kathaniyoru karmana mahalpyam vasudevasya sarvashubham ashubha vinashanam evam shravaye nityam yamam kshanam ananyathi shraddhavan yonu shruniya punatyatmanam evasam dvadashyam ekadashyam shrunanna yushavan bhaved padanti nashnan prayadastado bhavatyapadagi pushkare madhirayam cha dwaravatyam yadalpavan uposha samhidamedam paditva muchade bhayal Devadamani Siddhapidaro Manavonruba Yachandi Kaman Granada Shunadoya Segartanan. But the benefit of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam on particular days and in the association of devotees and in holy places like Mathura, Dwaraka and Pushkaram and places like that, how one with one point mind, with great attention and fasting, one should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And because if the place is pure, places like Dwaraka, Mathura and Vrindavanam, all these places have its own effect on us. Is it not? Devadamane Siddha Pidaro Manavo Nurma Yachandi Kamanguna Shunado Yase Girtanath. All these people will be benefited. Krijo Yajumshi Samani Dijo Dithya Anivindare Madhu Gulyam Krita Gulyam Pai Gulyascha Talphalam Talphalam. And Brahmanas whom they study Rigvedam, Yajuvedam, Samavedam, and then they get the results, that is what that is. Madhuvilya, Grithakulya, Payakulya. That Bhagavata Parayanam or Bhagavatam also if you study, you will get those benefits. Which means that all that indicates is that you will have sufficient honey, ghee, milk and Brahmanas who have studied Vedam, they will have all these things in plenty because that's what they need for their sacrifices, isn't it? So, what they are indicating is, Bhagavatam is not different from Vedam. Purana Samhita Ameda Aditya Praido Dvija Proktam Bhagavadayato Talpadam Brahmam Brajel Vipro Adityatmi Yat Pratyam Rajanyo Nadhi Megalam Vaisho Nirvaditam Yashudra Shudhyena Padagal Kalimala Samhati Kalano Akhilesho Hariridratta Nagiyade Shabeshtam Ihadu Panar Bhagavan Ashesha Murti Paripadito Nivadam Katha Prasangai Tamaham Ajamanandam Atmaratvam Jagrudayasri Samyam Atma Shakti Dibadivi Ajashakka Shankara Adhyar Duravasidastavam Achyudam Natosmi Upajana Shakti Bhim. In the glorifying about Krishna who is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Upajana Shakti Bhisam Atma Uparajidastri Jangamalaya Bhagavata Upalabdhi Matra Dhamne Surakrashabaya Namasanadanaya Sosuga Nibradajeda Tadvidastanya Bhavo Ajidir Ujire Leela Krishna Sarastadiyam Vedanida Krabhaya Stattu Deebam Puranam Tamakila Vrjanagnam Vyasa Soinam Natosmi. So, finally, saying all these things, Shavnaka Rishi pays obeisances to Shukha Brahmarshi, Sudeva Goswami, from whom he heard Srimad Bhagavatam. And that way he has spoken is like this. Vyasa Sunam Nadosmi. Again doesn't say about his name. Spiritual master, isn't it? So instead saying, son of Vedavyas, I pay my obeisances to him.
So Sukha Nibrata Jeda Tadvidustan Anya Bhavo Ajita Rujira Leela Krishna Sarasadiyam.
That he's saying about Sugam Brahmarshi, how Sudha Goswami is seeing him. He says there, he is full with knowledge of the self. Nothing else he knows. Purely situated in the platform of the self. And his thoughts doesn't go anywhere else. No chittavritti inside, in other words. And all the time absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. Completely. And somehow or the other, he felt some compassion for this world. Who? Shiva Brahmashi. He felt some compassion for this world.
Ajida Rujira Leela Krishna Sarasadiyam. Leela Krishna Sarasadiyam Vedanidu Kripaya.
Because he decided to show some mercy to us, people like all of us. Through Parikshit Maharaj, he decided to reveal this transcendental knowledge in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam to us.
Vedanuda Krabaya Tattvadeepam Puranam.
This Tattvadeepam Puranam. This Puranam, Srimad Bhagavata Puranam, which is the Tattvadeepam, which is the very message of knowledge of the self. He has decided to reveal.
Tam Akhila Vrijinaknam Vyasa Suvinam Natosmi.
And one who is capable of removing all the distresses of anyone in this world through the knowledge of the self. That is Shukha Brahmarshi's special capability. He was able to remove Parikshit Maharaj all's distress. Similarly, those who have taken to shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, due to Shukha Brahmarshi's grace, one will also be able to come out of all their distresses in life. That's what he's pointing out. And that is Shukha Brahmarshi's special grace, what he has shown to this world. Had Shukha Brahmarshi not spoken Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit, we would not have had Bhagavatam today, isn't it? So that is why he is saying here that this Bhagavata Puranam is capable of revealing to us who we are. Who we are. That it is that education that you won't be able to get from anywhere else. That is what Shukha Brahmarshi has done in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Educated us to make us realize who we are. Is it not? Like he did to Parikshit in the same way. That's what he's saying.
Susukha nibrata jeda tadvidastha anya bhavo ajida rujira leela krishna sarasthadiyam vedanada kripaya yas tattvadeepam puranam aptam akhilam vrijin agnam vyasa sunam natosmi.
By doing that, he is able to remove the sinful reactions of everyone and everybody's miseries in this world. And to that, Shukha Brahmarshi, I pay my obeisances. In that way, the 12th chapter is over. So now we'll have a short break and we'll finish the 13th chapter after that.
Chaito darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakkaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jeevanam anandambudhi vardhanam pratipada purna amrita swadanam sarvapna subanam param vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namna magari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nimida smaranena kala एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन्ममापि हृदयमीदृशमिहाजनिनानुरागाहम् तृणारविशुनी जैनतरोरवि सहिष्णुना अमानिना मानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि मथनं न जनं न सुन्दरीं कविदां वा जगदीशकामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरी भवदाद्भक्तिरहै दुगित्वयि अयि नन्दतनुजगिङ्गरं पतितामां क्षमे भवाम्बुधौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितदूली सदृशं विचिन्तय നയനം ഗലദശുധാരയാവതനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാഗിര പുളകയർനിജിതം കഥാവഭൂതവന്മാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായുധം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായുധം ശൂന്യായുധം ജഗത്സർവം ഗോവിന്ദവിരഹേണ മേ ആശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം പിനഷ്ടു മാമദർശനാം മർമഹതാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദദാ വിലംബരോ മൽപ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നൈവണാ പരാ.
Hmm. So with that 12th chapter, the Mananam is completed, isn't it? So a few verses he has used there to glorify why Mananam is necessary. Because we have heard about Krishna for a long period of time, from beginning to till now. And they are saying there that even if one of these stories related to Krishna, even if one of these stories, not even a part of that, if one can hear and properly absorb that, it will relieve him from all his distress. And that is the potency of Krishna's pastimes. Potency of Krishna's pastime. What is the guarantee? Guarantee is this. These four letters, Narayana, these four letters, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is four letters only, isn't it? And 18,000 verses are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And all letters in the Bhagavatam has some relationship with Krishna, in some form. And like you can see, there are certain deities made of Salagram Shila. Like if you go into Padmanabha Swami temple, it's full of Salagram Shila. They have joined together and they made the deity, isn't it? So similarly, whole of Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but Krishna's holy name put together. In different pastimes, it's all created in different holy names for Krishna. And it's like a garland made of Krishna's glories. Bhagavatam is nothing but a garland made of Krishna's glories. And it is full of Krishna's holy names, this Bhagavatam. And only four letters Ajamila took, Narayana, the four letters. And here, Sudha Goswami is saying to her, even four letters are not necessary, two is sufficient. Haraye Nama, isn't it? Hari. That is sufficient, he says. Even four letters if you can chant, even if you chant Hari, even that will do. Hare Nama. So, and even if you chant that, it's going to save you from a great disaster in life. Why is it so spoken like that? The question will come after hearing whole 18,000 verses Srimad Bhagavatam for 10 or 12 years. If somebody asks you, what did you understand from Bhagavatam? We have to have an answer for that, isn't it? If you say to somebody that I've been listening to Bhagavatam for 10 or 12 years, and then you met someone who hasn't heard Bhagavatam, and you are telling him that I've been listening to Bhagavatam for 10 or 12 years. So he asks you, what have you understood then? What is the message? If you ask him, so, and you say to him, I'll tell you next time when I hear that. If you answer it like that, that won't be very good, is it not? So there needs an answer, a very definite and precise answer is required. So just they give the example like this. Once, a person sat and listened to Ramayanam. Whole Ramayanam they listened. And the person who was speaking about Ramayanam, he was a Shastri. So to that Shastri he asked him, I have a doubt, he said. He said, what is your doubt? He said, when I started listening to your lectures on Ramayanam, you were kept on using this word Rama, 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 all the time you were saying that. Then sometimes you were saying, he said, yes, the Shastri said, yes, I was saying that. He says, then I also heard you saying Sita, Sita, Sita. He says, yes, I was saying that name as well. Then I also heard in the middle the name Ravana, 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 you were saying. I heard that also, he said. Then in between you were saying there was a monkey. Monkey, monkey, monkey also you were saying. He said, so my doubt is Rama the monkey or Ravana the monkey, he said. So Shastri says to him, neither of them, he said, I am the monkey, he said. Because if that's what you have understood, I am the monkey. To say all these things, and if this is what you have understood, then I am the monkey. Similarly, you heard Srimad Bhagavatam 10-12 years, what have you understood? And it is not possible to go delve into Bhagavatam in deeper level. It requires tremendous help. And we are what they call in the Shastram Upariplava Buddhi. Upariplava Buddhi means that our Buddhi is on the surface. We don't know how to go deeper. This is our greatest weakness. Everything, if it is put on a plate and given to us, we will take it. But to go deeply into anything, we are incapable. We don't have that depth of vision and depth of mind insight. And the nature, you will see this in some people, how deep they are absorbed inside, the depth of absorption in the topic like Srimad Bhagavatam, that is a special gift from Krishna given to them. We are generally, people are Upariplava Buddhi. Upariplava Buddhi means on the surface everything. We are such people, only if it is given black and white and given to us, we will accept it. This is the first problem with all of us, isn't it? We will say, where is it mentioned in Prabhupada's book? First question. If it is not mentioned, oh, it's not bona fide. From that itself, you can understand how much surface his level of vision is, understanding it. Shastram, you don't study like that. It's a foolishness. It's a very, very early state in spiritual life. You will be like that. And some people are after 40 years also like that. It has gone very deeper than that. So that is not very spiritual. Spiritual understanding is, as soon as you have heard a verse, and if you have understood something, you should be in a position to deeply absorb in that verse. And what is Vedavyasa Maharshi bringing out through that? They are rishis. Rishis means who have got dirgha darshitam, able to visualize things and deeply absorb in things and able to bring it out from that the message, what they want to tell us. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam, so many commentaries. Why did that all come out? 14 or 15 commentaries Prabhupada was referring to while writing his own commentary. Apart from that 14 and 15, there are hundreds of other commentaries as well. You can't say that this only 14 is bona fide. That will be foolishness to say that. There are many, many great devotees who did not print and publish it like others have done. But they have also gone deeper into Bhagavatam. How can you throw them away? That's not possible. So the reason is that every commentary what we have is that particular time in life, in that person's life, whether it is Sriracharya, whether it's Vallabhacharya, whether it's somebody else, whoever has written commentary, in their particular life, at that particular point in time, whatever Krishna has revealed to them from Srimad Bhagavatam, that's what their commentary is. That's how you have to understand the commentary. Similarly, if you also get absorbed in the Bhagavatam over a long period of time, studying Bhagavatam and deeply getting absorbed in that, one day the similar realizations will come from Antaryami inside, and that will be your commentary on that. And that will be closer to you than the ones what you have learned from the book. We are thinking that when we can see now the 10 days that when we are, people are writing the commentary now, what they do is, they pick up these important commentaries and then they cut and paste from all these different things. And this is my commentary, they're saying. That won't be your commentary. That's not your commentary. That is their commentary. Sridhacharya's commentary or Vallabhacharya's commentary or somebody else's commentary. But where is your commentary? You haven't got it. They have got it. So similarly, what they have got, if you also get it and if you write that is your commentary. You got to get it from inside. That is only then it becomes your commentary. So, there are so many jewels in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the depth of that. And to go down to that depth and to pick up those jewels from Bhagavatam is difficult. But Vedavyasa Maharshi, Sudha Goswami, all of them, they have brought one jewel from this Bhagavatam and given it to us. What is that? That is that jewel, Hareye Nama. After writing all these things, Sudha Goswami has only one thing to say to us, Hareye Nama. Obeisances to Krishna. Obeisances to Krishna. So, if we have succeeded, come to that, even if we don't have that intelligence or the depth of vision, what the great devotees had or great acharyas had, at least we can accept this one jewel, what Bhagavatam is giving to us, which has been picked up by Vedavyas and picked up by Sudha Goswami and others, and they are giving it to us, that if you have come to this realization of chanting the holy name of Krishna, then you also have some realization. That is important point. Haraye nama ityuchai muchade sarvapatagal. That we have to chant the holy name. We have to chant the holy name. And to understand that and able to bring it into practice, that is more important. That is why in the last two verses you are seeing again and again Bhagavatam is saying to us the importance of the holy name. importance of the holy name. So this whole 12th chapter is only one message, Haraye Nama, Haraye Nama. So that is why Paridas Kalido Varta Chutvava Vivasho Bruvan Haraye Nama Ityuche Muchade Sarvapadagal. So and you have to remember, Srimad Bhagavatam is like a train. There's 12 compartments, 12 bogies in that. Each canto is like a bogey, isn't it? It's like a carriage. And it keeps travel, it starts its journey. You have seen it started and it ran through various planets. You see, higher planetary system, lower planetary system and so many other places. All Bhagavatam has covered, this train has gone through. And finally, it went into the Brahma's planet, Brahmalokam, and from there it is on its way to Vaikuntham. The train is on its way to Vaikuntham. So when it comes to Vaikuntham, Vaikuntham is like a station. A great devotee has compared it like this. Srimad Bhagavatam like a train. 12 compartments, and 12 compartments the train is running through all kinds of planetary systems and upper planets, lower planets everywhere. And when it arrives at the Vaikuntham planet, what is happening there is Vedavyasa Maharshi is the guard in the train who has got the green flag, who is the olden days, that's how it was, isn't it? So, and Shukabrahmarshi, Sukadeva Goswami is driving the train. Vedavyasa is the guard showing the flag. And we are the passengers in that train. And at the end of the 12th day, and the train has, on the end of the 12 years, whatever time you have spent in studying Srimad Bhagavatam, train has arrived in Vaikuntham station. And when you get there, you need a signal to enter into the station, isn't it? Only when you have the signal, the train can get inside. So normally what does the driver do when he doesn't get entry into the station? He pulls the whistle and makes aware that the train is waiting at the outer cabin to get into the station. Is it not? And this Haraye Nama is the whistle to get into Vaikuntha station. So Haraye Nama is such an important that, and when you have that signal, you are allowed in there. Suppose after studying Srimad Bhagavatam, if you have come to this conclusion, after studying Bhagavatam, you have to come to this conclusion. Not physically on your own. If you have accepted that and you are able to do it, that's fine. But if not, with the help of Srimad Bhagavatam, if you have come to this conclusion that chanting Krishna's holy name is the message, and if you have got it, then there won't be any delay. Krishna will let you into Vaikuntha planet. So, and that is why it is mentioned there. Padidas kalido varta shutvava vivasho bruvan haraye nama ityuchai uchyade sarvapadagal. So after speaking about the summary of Srimad Bhagavatam in the 12th chapter, Mananam, or contemplation, or reflection of that, Vedavyasa Maharshi and Sudha Goswami here reminded us of the importance of chanting the holy name. Importance of chanting the holy name. And after that, what you hear in this 13th chapter is mostly about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sudha Goswami is saying here, and you should never think that Bhagavatam is over. Bhagavatam is never finished. That Krishna stories we are hearing, along with that, we have to chant the holy name. That is the most important message. And that is the only thing, chanting the holy name, hearing about Krishna, that is what will take away the distress what we have in life. All of us are going through very, very difficult times in life, in one way or the other, isn't it? And we will realize it one day, every transaction in this world only brings distress at the end. And in that situation, the freedom from that is by hearing about Krishna. Hearing about Krishna. And if it is like that, Srimad Bhagavatam is so capable of removing a person's distress, everybody should be hearing Bhagavatam, isn't it? And on the other hand, what you find is that for entertainment, for sports, for politics, for business, there are more people going towards that rather than taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, isn't it? And you may ask the question, why people don't come to Srimad Bhagavatam? If Bhagavatam is capable of removing everyone's distress, the reason is that it's not spoken to show the good and bad side of it, that there is an example the rishis give to us for that. when you go to Manasa Sarasa, Manasa Sarasa means it is in the Kailasam or in the Mount Mahameru also, you will talk about Manasa Sarasa. There you will only find 4 or 5 swans, birds. Only Hamsa. There will be only few there. But if you go and throw away all your remnants from the food after you have eaten into your garbage drum and you leave it open, there will be hundreds of crows there to eat that. That is exactly what it is. Srimad Bhagavatam is like a Manasa Sarasa. You will only get taste for that when there will be only few for that. That's the way it is. Whereas what you throw in the garbage, there will be so many birds and crows will come and eat that. So, so it is a little bit difficult to get a taste for Srimad Bhagavatam. To taste for, and therefore, in that 13th chapter, it is also spoken that there is nothing higher than hearing about Krishna. Nothing higher than. And also, ultimately, he says here that Srimad Bhagavatam, and through Srimad Bhagavatam, what is spoken about whom? Krishna. Krishna, isn't it? And the spiritual master who has spoken Srimad Bhagavatam, all of them requires our gratitude. So that's why in that last chapter, you will see that all these three personalities, Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna who has been spoken through Srimad Bhagavatam and the spiritual master who has spoken Srimad Bhagavatam, all of them have been remembered again. Like Sukadeva Goswami, about Krishna, Hare Nama, and about Sudha Goswami. So through these 18,000 verses. So here, you have to understand that Srimad Bhagavatam talks about Krishna. Talks about Krishna. And everybody is paying their respects to Krishna. And similarly, Sukadeva Goswami, who took a special effort to come and speak Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit, he also has to be offered respect because nobody could force him to do it. Shukha Brahmashi. He is free to do what he wants. But what prompted him to come to Parikshit and give this Bhagavatam to him? That is the greatness of Shukha Brahmashi. That is why, you remember, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam itself, in the first canto, I think it's in the second chapter, he said that if you look, you'll see there that the yam pravrajandam anubedam abedakrityam dvaibhayeno virahakadaram ajuhava putraedidanmaidayataravobhinedu tam sarvabhudakhrdayam munimanatosmi. In the next verse, what does it say? Yes, swanubhavam. Swanubhavam. Swanubhavam means his own experience. Yeah? Akhila shudhisaryamegam, which is the very essence of all the Vedic literature. Akhila shudhisaryamegam adhyalmadivam, the torchlight of spiritual knowledge. Adhididirshadam tamondham, most difficult thing to get over, this ignorance inside us. So what did he do? Samsarinam karunayaha, because he felt compassion for us. Therefore he came and spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit, simply out of compassion. Samsarinam karunayaha purana guhyam. The words, you can look at it. This is spoken in the beginning itself. Sudha Goswami is saying there. So we have to offer our greatest respect for what Shukha Brahmarshi has given to us. Samsarinam karunayaha. We are all the samsaris. Samsaris means those who are absorbed in this world with all different projects and planning and many other ideas in their head, whatever we have got, and suffering here, not knowing what to do, how to get out of this place, situations. They are called samsaris. Samsarinam karunayaha. Because he felt compassion for us, because he knew what is the solution to all the problems of life. Karunayaha purana guhyam tam vyasa suvinam. That Vyasa Suvinam, Vedavyasa Maharshi son, Tam Vyasa Suvinam. Muninam, yeah. To that, he pays his obeisances to him also. Because one thing is, Shukha Brahmarshi doesn't need anything. He is Nirapeksham. No desires inside. Remember, Krishna talks about a devotee, Niravaksham, Munim Shandam, that stage is Shuga Brahmarshi. Then, why did Shuga Brahmarshi begin this Srimad Bhagavatam? If he doesn't need anything, why did he do that? That is why it said, Karunayaha Purana Guhyam. So, out of his mercy for us, Karunyam for us, therefore, Shuga Brahmarshi has spoken Srimad Bhagavatam. So, to that spiritual master, Shuga Brahmarshi, to Krishna, and all of them, this obeisances is offered to them in the end of Bhagavatam. And in that is the end of Srimad Bhagavatam. Obeisances to all these great personalities. Now, we have remembered Krishna through Bhagavatam. We have paid our gratitude to Sukadeva Goswami, who has spoken Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, in addition to that, what else have we got? We have another responsibility as well. What is that? That in the recent times, particularly in the Western world, Srimad Bhagavatam was unknown, isn't it? How many people knew about Srimad Bhagavatam? Nobody knew about Bhagavatam. Not only that, they did not understand also what this Bhagavatam has got. A lot of stories, that's what people used to think when they got it first. Some people read it, some people threw it away, they didn't bother about it, all those things. But Srimad Bhagavatam is something to be relished and something that has got a much higher knowledge and realization in spiritual life can come from Srimad Bhagavatam. This lesson has been taught to us by a personality who has done this. Is it not? That's Srila Prabhupada. So, who has done that through his effort, by his tireless efforts, he managed to write all his realizations on the Srimad Bhagavatam and to bring to people that take to this Srimad Bhagavatam, it will get you out of this miserable life in this world and you'll find some shelter there. He convinced people on that, and even today many, many devotees are reading Srimad Bhagavatam and find some relief from in their life by the knowledge of the Bhagavatam. Nobody can deny that. Nobody can deny that. There are many, many, they may be in ISKCON, outside ISKCON, doesn't matter. But the fact is, people who are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, who may not have studied Sanskrit or heard Bhagavatam before, but who have taken to the shelter of Bhagavatam through Prabhupada's Bhagavatam commentaries, they are reading that, and when they are in distress and confused in life, what to do, they are still reading this Bhagavatam commentary, what Prabhupada has given, and they are finding, what do they call, solace in that. They are finding shelter there. And that is keeping them going in their spiritual life. So, therefore, we owe gratitude to him for that compassion he has shown. He took that special effort to come and broadcast Bhagavatam to the rest of the world. Is it not? So, that is his grace. So, from our side, that we have done what we can. The fact remains that there will be so many faults in all these things. While reading there is mistakes, when we have spoken something, is that what Krishna meant? We don't know. We are reading it and sometimes we understand it from others. Whether it is right or wrong, we don't know. Only judge here is Krishna, nobody else. Only Krishna knows about it. So, if anything that has gone well in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if it has benefited spiritually, anyway, anybody, in any form, that credit is only Krishna has to be given that. Because Krishna's message has got through well. That's why it has helped some people. It is only that's the reason. And if you have developed a liking for Srimad Bhagavatam, and if you have got some desire to hear Srimad Bhagavatam again and again, it's purely due to this attachment Krishna has given to you in your heart towards Srimad Bhagavatam. If Krishna doesn't give it to you, you will never get it. So, therefore, gratitude towards Krishna. And if you have not developed any attachment for Bhagavatam, even after hearing so many years, then you have to accept it like this way. That sometimes small children, when they speak, there will be a lot of mistakes, isn't it? When they start speaking first, the letters won't come out properly, all blabbering, things like that. But parents accept it still, encourage him still to speak properly, isn't it? So similarly, in our discussions with Srimad Bhagavatam, if something is not proper, If something has gone in the wrong way, by misunderstood something, or something that's been not properly, Krishna has not meant that way. If anything has spoken like that, because that will always happen in the Srimad Bhagavatam, then we have to take responsibility for that. So, and similarly, while speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, there is another thing to it, that, as I mentioned, many people who have come to hear Bhagavatam, they didn't stay. Sometimes they came, sometimes they're gone, sometimes they stayed. So that is a normal thing. And the reason for that is some things might have offended them, what I have spoken. I don't know. I have spoken with my understanding, isn't it? It's like every one of us speak according to our understanding. So in my understanding, I have spoken something and some people may not have liked it and they have gone away. They felt that I'm not saying the right thing, and that also maybe my weaknesses. I can't do anything about it. It is my weakness that I have to say certain things the way I have understood Bhagavatam. And that may be different than the way that person is experiencing his realizations from Bhagavatam. And therefore that responsibility is with me. It is not with Krishna. It is with me. So, similarly, like a driver is driving the bus, similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam reading, and if you mislead people deliberately, that's wrong. That is worse than anything else. Unknowingly, if it happens, it's okay. You can't do anything about it. But deliberately use Srimad Bhagavatam and mislead others, there is not a greatest crime than that. That's the biggest crime to do that. So that is why you will see after all these things, the way Bhagavatam concludes. If you look at that, we will conclude Srimad Bhagavatam in that way. There are 2-3 verses at the end. Sutta Vacham, 13th chapter. Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marudastvanyundi Divay Stavair Vedei Sangabada Krama Upanishadair Gayandiyam Samagaha Dhyana Vastita Dadgadena Manasa Pashyandiyam Yogino Yasyandam Navidusura Suragana Devaya Tasmai Namah Prashte Brahmeda Manda Vandara Giri Grava Gragandu Yenam Nidra Lokamatakradir Bhagavada Shasa Nilapanduva Yel Samskara Kalanu Vartana Vashal Vela Nipenam Pasam Yata Yata Madandritam Jalanidir Nyadhya Vivishram Yadi. Then it is a description of all the Puranams, how many verses in each, all of them. And finally he says, Sarva Vedanta Saram Yad Brahma Atmaigattu Lakshanam Vastu Adhidiyam Tannishtam Kaivalyega Prayojanam. This is the conclusion of Bhagavatam. One of the important conclusion. What is that? Sarva Vedanta Saram. The conclusion of all Vedic literature is Brahmam Atmaigattu Lakshanam. That Aham Brahmasmi. I am not different. I am nothing but spirit. Brahmam, aham brahmasmi, I am spirit. Brahma atmaigattu lakshanam, ekattvam, oneness of the self with the truth. No difference from that. Vastu advidiyam tannishtam, kaivalyega prayojanam. That vastu advidiyam tannishtam, that is the only topic that is discussed here. And the final benefit of all this is liberation from this material existence. Then when to read Bhagavatam spoken, and the 15th verse says there, Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi Sri Bhagavatam Ishyade. Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedantam. Tadrasa Amrita Truptasya Nanyatrasya Rudi Kuchil. So, this nectar that is flowing from Srimad Bhagavatam, once you have got a taste for it, you won't find a taste for anything else in this world. Then he talks about Ganga River, Krishna, Vaishnavanam, Yathashambhu, Purananamithamda. Then finally, these verses. Srimad Bhagavatam, Puranam, Amalam, Yad Vaishnavanam, Priyam, Yasmin Paramahamsevegam, Amalam, Yanam, Param, Ghiyade, Tatra Jnana, Viraga, Bhakti Sahidam, Naishkarmyam, Avishkatam, Yat Shrunvan, Vipatan, Vicharana Paro, Bhaktiya, Vimuchenara. We have seen all those verses in different times, we have spoken. Kasmai Yena Vibhasido Yamadulo. This verse, don't forget. Krishna sitting in the Krishna spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahma. Sitting in the heart of Brahma, Krishna heard Bhagavatam. Then sitting in the heart of Brahma, Krishna spoke Bhagavatam. Sitting in the heart of Narada Maharshi, Krishna heard Bhagavatam. Actually, there is only one speaker and one listener. That is Krishna. Nobody else. This our conclusion is all different. We are all thinking something different. That is what he is saying here. Tadrubena cha naradaya munaye krishnaya tadrubina yogindraya tadhalpanada bhagavadradaya karunyadam sashuddham vimalam vishogamamrdam satyam param dhimahi. That Bhagavadam has been spoken by Krishna, heard by Krishna. Even now, Krishna is speaking, Krishna is listening, not the jivas. Krishna is speaking and Krishna is listening. Namastasmai bhagavade vasudevaya sakshine yaidam krubaya kasmai vyajajakshe mumukshave yogindraya namastasmai shugaya brahmarubine samsara sarpadashtam yo vishnuradamamu mujal. Then last two verses. What is the purpose of Bhagavadam? This conclusion you will only see in the Bhagavadam. In every other Puranam, they will talk about liberation from this life. But Bhagavadam has got a very special way of presenting it. Bhagavadam says to us, if I have to take birth again, doesn't matter. Bhagavadam says. Why? If I get a birth, next life also, if I am attached to Krishna, it's not a bad thing. If there is attachment to Krishna, if there is no attachment to Krishna, what's the benefit? That's what it is. Bhave bhave yatha bhakti padayor savajayate tatha kurusha yogesha nathastanno yada prabhom. Only prayer to Krishna is keep us attached to you. Never break us away from his lotus feet. This attachment to Krishna, which is bhakti, is more important than even liberation. Liberation may come. So what? What has happened after that? Is there anything after liberation? That answer is in this 12th canto, which is called ashrayam. Sammam bonam, they say, isn't it? Taking Krishna's shelter, which is higher than even liberated state. So, after self-realization, is there anything else to do? That question will come. And that is when this ashrayam comes. Therefore, prayer to Krishna is, give us that bhakti, attachment to Krishna's lotus feet, under all circumstances. And in that process, if we had to take birth again, doesn't matter. Because you are attached to Krishna, why worry about anything? Krishna will take care of everything. There's nothing to feel bad about it. That's why that verse is saying, bhave bhave yatha bhakti padayor savajayate tatha kurusha devesha nathastamno yada prabho. Then finally the conclusion, nama sankirtanam yasya sarvabhava pranashanam pranamo dukkhashamanam tam namami harim param. This Srimad Bhagavatam has got one important thing. What is that? Nama Sankirtanam, chanting the holy name, nothing else. That advantage of that is, the benefit from that is Sarva Bhava Pranashanam. Why? Why do we suffer in this world? Because of our sinful activities. So in this life or previous life or whatever way, sometime we must have done something. That is why we have been given this body to us, thrown into this world with so many different relationships, and fighting all the relationships and surviving in this world against all odds. All this is an after effect of our sinful activities. Some people we like, some people we don't like, some people we hate, and somebody we have ragadvesham everywhere. And everyone is caught up in this, is it not? Nama sankirtanam yasya sarva bhava pranashanam. And what is the benefit? If you chant the holy name, Krishna, the Goswami is saying there, pranamo dukkha shamanam, distress will go. Why? These sinful reactions, what we have created in different lifetimes, that will all be wiped out. Simply by chanting the holy name, tam namami harim param. And to that Hari, Krishna, who is capable of doing that, we pay our obeisances to him. And this is how Srimad Bhagavatam finishes in the 13th chapter. So, tomorrow we start Bhagavatam again from the beginning in a different format. So, let's hope Krishna gives us time to listen to it and keep us all busy with Bhagavatam again. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai. Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai.